call this meeting to order. Would you please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
President Simon.
Here.
Vice President Still.
Here.
Director Graves.
Here.
Director Pease.
Here.
Director Beeson.
Here.
All right. I'm going to dispense with the reading of public comments because there is no public here. And we'll move right into item C, special meeting items.
Before we do that, I wanted to let the board know that today is Carol's third anniversary with the district.
Aww. Hey.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I feel very fortunate.
To us. Hmm. All right. Thank you.
We want to buy you breakfast.
What I thought I would do, something similar we've done in the past, is I put together a PowerPoint. You have a package in front of you that has all the slides, and I'm not going to go through it in order in terms of just blasting through it. We'll stop and talk about the topics that are on there. You've seen or heard about all of them at one point or another, with the exception of one of the items, which we're bringing to you for the first time. And once we go through these items we've talked about, there's an opportunity then for the board to talk about pretty much anything you want to talk about, anything we've been working on, anything you want us to work on from the staff level moving forward. So this is the first meeting, if you will, for our 14-15 budget. The budget calendar is included in the package as well. We'll talk about that in a little while. This is the meeting that we use to get that process started. So with that, today's agenda, the items that I put together to discuss is a 2013 year in review, our mission, vision, values, and goals, the strategic plan, the records retention system. This is the one thing that you have not, that has not come before you. Vehicle and equipment storage facility. I know President Simon is widely excited about that. The drought pending water matters, community center, don't really have anything to talk about it, but I put it on there just for discussion if you wanted to discuss any of the items or any of the situations over there, 2014-15 budget, and then what your goals are moving forward. So for 2013 review, just to go back, we closed escrow on the community center back in February. The capital improvement program's in full swing. We hosted a number of successful events at the community center, including Earth Day and Rocktoberfest. We drilled well 7, and it's very close to going to bid for construction. The community pool opened last summer. We implemented a 4-year rate structure. Landscape projects on Marina Road, Newport Court, and Point of Timber were completed. And we rolled out our first ever newsletter, The Pipeline, along with the first ever recreation guide. We hired our recreation projects coordinator, and I believe Dan is going to be here this morning, so we can introduce him to the board. And last item, there were no major issues in 2013 that I recall that cast a cloud on the town of Discovery Bay or its operations, so I think that's something that we should all be happy about. Mission, vision, values, and goals, if you look at the slides on your handout, our mission is to provide effective and fiscally responsible municipal services in a manner which promotes a high standard of community life with a focus on the environment and the built-in partnership of the community. If you recall, I brought this to the board about a month or so ago and said we would discuss it here. And it's important that we revisit that. And I'm not sure if you want to do a full-blown revisit of the mission, vision, values, and goals today. You want to break it down in its pieces and come back, if you want to dispense with it, if you want to recreate it, if you want to keep what we have.
Okay, well, can we just make a change right now?
Yeah, we can do anything at any point.
Okay. All right.
So that's why I've broken down each as their parts.
Okay.
So the mission is the first one, and this had been adopted originally a number of years ago by the board. And it's a completely different board. Nobody sitting today was on the board when it was adopted. So what's your pleasure?
I was always told that we didn't have one adopted.
Yeah, that's what I was told.
We have one adopted.
DK confirmed that we have one adopted.
I brought it back to the board, I believe it was in the December meeting, and confirmed that it had been adopted.
Historically, but are we okay with the vision statement, you guys, the way it is?
I am.
I...
Well, is it, okay, so is it on the website?
Yes.
I like the vision statement, I'd support keeping that, but...
I mean, they're pretty general.
They are, general enough.
If you look at 10 vision or mission statements, they're always, every one of them's exactly the same, worded a little bit differently, but they're all... I mean, if you went and said our vision is to give shitty service and close 5 days a week, it'd be one thing, but everybody says pretty much the same thing.
I don't see anything about, no, I don't see anything about being environmentally, I don't see anything too... It's vague enough.
The first three sentences in the text below are really the critical sentences.
That's what it is right there.
Right.
I would just stop it right there. I would just stop at live, community live, period. That's our vision.
The mission statement defines what an organization is, why it exists, and its reason for being. It's important to communicate the mission statement to employees and to customers.
We have a mission and a vision statement, right?
Yes, we do. And if you already have a mission statement, you will need to periodically review and possibly revise it to make sure it accurately reflects your goals.
And that's really our mission, actually. That's not stated, right? That seems like the first...
Well, let me see. Is there anything ugly that stands out that everyone's changed? Okay. I don't see this.
Support
it, leave it alone.
Okay.
Spend hours just getting right back to the same.
You could cut. You could literally spend meetings and meetings and meetings doing this, and it happens.
Right, and it's already on the website, so it's something that the public has already.
We're all aligned with what it says there, so I think it's good. Let's make that vision statement. What's the mission statement?
Well, I think that this said it said vision statement. It should have said mission, and it said adopted TODV vision statement. That should have said mission statement.
Okay,
that was my mistake. The vision is a full service and sustainable community, grow in harmony with the environment in the Delta, provide the highest quality of life now and for future generations.
Pretty aspirational, right?
And again, the first sentence I think is indicative of an aspirational description of what an organization would like to achieve or accomplish in the midterm or long term future.
Everybody like that? Michael, over there.
My only comment, and I'm looking at it from a medical point, is in the health industry, you never want to say provide the highest quality of life. So how do you define that? It's just a word thing, and I'm fine with the way it is. I'm just saying that how can you guarantee
how we just
that?
Say we enhance
the we don't have the authority or the capability of providing the highest level of life for people. That's
exactly.
But we're all about improving the quality. So
I think the word enhance is a good word, like you said, but I think provide is a little bit too strong of a word.
I don't think we have the capability nor the authority to do that.
Why don't we just drop the last, provide the highest quality of life in the future?
Yeah, sustainable seems like a big enough for us.
I agree.
Yeah, let's just drop that from provide forward to generations.
Goals that prior board had adopted, responsible management of public funds, balance economic prosperity and the preservation of our neighborhoods and natural resources, timely communication between the government and our citizens, continually improve the quality of our services, stewards of the environment, pride in community assets, provide leadership while considering all points of view, to ultimately set policy and make decisions based on what is in the best interest of the entire community and recognize pioneers of the community.
Exact opposite of what they used to do.
Goals are specific, they're measurable, they're attainable, they're realistic, and they're timely.
These are just ongoing goals, though. I think timely communication could be more specific. I'd say effective communication. Timely and effective or something, or I don't know. you know, we're still trying to, we got to get a website and all the, and then we have a communication plan, and maybe it's not a big deal, but.
Effective communication is actually effective, timely and effective.
Yeah. However, media means it happens. I don't know. You know, if you're walkie-talkie or a bullhorn.
It should be something to do with transparency in there also. That was the big deal before.
I like that.
Well, since you mentioned that, we have, as I mentioned to you before, we're about to submit an application to CSDA for the transparency certificate. We have met every single list of criteria, and it was voluminous. The checklist we had to go through. It is right now going through peer agency review with Byron Bethany, Rick Gilmore, the general manager there, as well as Luann Texera, the executive director of LAFCO. So they have both received our packages, and they are going through them as we speak. So from that perspective, I think we have really, by taking that checklist, we have improved our transparency just by going through the list and accomplishing the things on that list.
Then let's add it right there, the first word, put on transparent and responsible management of public funds.
I like that, because transparency is the key word everywhere now.
That's huge, and it was a big deal, even back in, when I first started coming to meetings in 2005 and 6.
So transparent and responsible.
That was the big fight for the transparency. Everybody talked about it, nobody did it. We were now doing it, we should probably make it a point of putting it up there.
But let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Have we gone through any dramatic changes to achieve those, that
well,
do we have to change any of our policies or procedures?
Yes.
Like what?
We did. We had a number of the policies that I've been bringing to you recently, things that we didn't have in the past. For example, that one document that went to the board the last time that had to do was government code 5-6, whatever it was, that any employee or board member that receives a reimbursement of $100 or more,
okay,
that type of thing, we now do that. There are
but the actual procedures and policies and the way we conduct the business to the public in these meetings has not changed.
No, not at all.
So all that BS in the past about transparency by the people that were out in the audience was all BS. We were being transparent all along.
No, you had to be here before you were here.
Well, I'm only talking about my history.
Yeah.
And I sat here and listened to Jeff Barber and Don Flint talk and Bill Richardson talk about transparency, and it was not, we haven't done anything different today than we did then.
No, that was long gone.
Why don't we let that out,
Bill? Sure, Bill. What I have to say is it is not valuable, so
no,
go ahead. You run the program, Bill. Go ahead.
Yeah,
no, I'm fine with that. why are you shutting me up?
I'm not shutting you up.
Yeah, you said, let's just move on. That's in the past.
Well, What are we dredging around about that for?
Because our president brought it up. I'm commenting on it. You have a problem with that?
Comment all you want. We move on.
But other than that one change, I think those goals are great.
Okay.
I hope the
two changes.
I'd recommend that this balance economic prosperity in the preservation. I'd like to just delete that. I don't know how you balance up economic prosperity. Just drop the word balance. Economic prosperity and just drop that out. Now we're gonna, we want to have preservation of the neighborhoods and natural resources.
So shorten that sentence.
Yeah, just shorten it up a little bit.
Yeah, that's good. I like that.
And the other one down in the middle, after it says continually improve the quality of our services, stewards of the environment. I don't know how we're gonna be stewards of the environment.
Well, we are a water and sewer agency, and we need to make sure that we protect from a sanitary standpoint the community, and we do everything we can.
But we say preservation.
We
also are probably trying to take not what the regulators ask us, but go exceeding what the regulators ask us, only because we play and vote in this water, so we want to protect it. So
I understand all that. Maybe we need to enunciate that a little more clearly. And just those stewards of the environment. Maybe I don't get it, but the bad wording. But I'm good. Whatever. Anybody else?
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
I think
it's a good statement.
So do we just make these changes today, or is it
going to come back to the board? So you'll get a chance to review it. You'll get a chance to officially adopt it.
All right.
our values, and I actually like them. They're brief, they say it all. Innovation, accountability, respect, and integrity. I think in the past couple of years, we've been all of that. We've been innovative in the things we've done. We've certainly been accountable. There's a high level of respect, not only with the board and the staff, but the public as well. And I think you have a high level of integrity as well.
So. I got one more. I put that professionalism. I think the staff does really, do high level work, and I think we everything we do is professional, and you know, we're not sloppy,
You know, what I highlighted there in that first paragraph informs the customers and staff what its core beliefs are, and innovative, accountability, respect, integrity, yeah. And professionalism.
Hey, Kat's that.
So that's the mission, vision, values, and goals. What we'll do is we'll go ahead and summarize these comments, bring them back to the board probably the second meeting in February to get them another conversation and to adopt them. And what we will do is we will, already we use a series of mission, vision, values, and goals for our employee performance reviews. And they need to, the employees, as they get reviewed on their on these mission, vision, values, and goals. And so we already take them, and they're already part of our day-to-day and our annual review process. So we do implement it, we do use it, and we do follow through. The next page in your package is the budget calendar, but go ahead and hold off on that. It's between the first set of blue sheets.
I've got records retention and storage needs.
Go to the next tab of the blue.
Okay.
There's a blue page in there you have. There you go. There's a budget calendar. Skip the budget calendar and go to the page after the budget calendar. That's what we talked about.
Okay. This blue page.
The page after the budget calendar.
This means it's got nothing on it.
Yes. The page after that, the strategic plan.
All right.
As you recall, I brought a draft of a proposal to an RFP to the board, I think back in October. And what I've copied for you is a copy of a strategic plan that was recently completed by a community services district, McKinleyville. I don't even know where McKinleyville is. I know it's up north, but I'm not sure. Is it
Eureka?
Eureka. So I went through it. I thought it was actually not. It was brief. It wasn't over the top. It pretty much discussed what their future is going to be. So strategic planning. It helps an organization produce their fundamental decisions and actions that shape and guide what an organization is, what it does, and why it does it, with a focus on the future. Being aware of our resources, incorporating both into being conscious and responsive to a dynamic environment, and involves intentionally setting goals, and the process is about fundamental decisions and actions. At the workshop in Napa, you recall this is a conversation piece up there as well. And the master plans we completed a couple of years ago, it's already been a couple of years, are a component of the strategic plan. They are secondary to what a strategic plan would be. And I think it would be good for this organization, if the board chose to do so, would be to bring a consultant on board and engage the community, the business community, all the stakeholders, the school district, this board, staff, and identify where we want to go in the future. What is our future going to look like? Where do we want to be? Where do we want to go? We go along and we plug along day to day, month to month, year to year, and we get a lot accomplished. But we're doing it kind of in a backwards mode. You should be the plan to move forward would be more desirable, because then you know exactly where you're going to be in the 5, 10 to 20 year range. So just want to know what your thoughts are on that. And
Without a little jurisdiction.
Within just the town of Discovery Bay Community Services District, yes.
And an example of that might be, you know, when we, when this community, CSD first started in 98, it took on water and wastewater. A couple of years later, you took on landscaping and recreation. The next could be, maybe you want to do the roads, public works, those type of things, or you want to move your boundary lines out to further, you know, that type of thing. Some of those ideas.
I think the thing for me is, I'm going to be a realist here. We're a small town. We're always going to be a small town. When we hit build out, we're at build out. It's not like we can, we're not going to become a city ever. I mean, if we are, we have no income of any kind, whatever.
But it's not going to be for a while.
It would be long after we're dead before we become a city. We have no roads in this town. We met with Caltrans several years ago when I first got on the board. Ray and I did it. A couple other people, and we were told by them at that time, you ain't even on our back burner for changing the roads in Discovery Bay. We will never take the two bridges down. It's not our county. It's not going to happen. We're not going to build roads. We're not going to change highways. None of it's going to change. So what would the goal actually be? You're going to, if, when you hit build out, you hit build out. We're not going to take over the roads. We're not going to become a city. We're not going to have a new fire and police department under us. We're going to spend thousands upon thousands of dollars for a vision of what we might be able to do 30 years down the road. I don't know.
Is this just a collection of our plans, of different plans, like a landscaping plan or a
water
plan? Is this a strategy plan would encompass those pieces and maybe a master plan for parks would roll into something like this, wouldn't it, Rick? Well,
this is only, this one you forget was only 5-year plan, it's not. It's just, 5-year strategic plan.
Right.
But it goes into 20. It
15, 14 to 19, 15 to 20, and that's 20, that's 5 years, right? Can I do my math right?
Yeah, it says decision over 5 years.
Okay. This looks like a nice rough, I mean, it's only 30 pages.
Now, I do.
Oh. Well,
that's one of the reasons after I found it out.
Did you see their mission? Did you guys read their mission? They had a good mission.
But again, this is something we do. I mean, we have a management team, but we do it in 5-year study. It's not like we're sitting here going, what are we going to do next Thursday? What a consultant actually tells us, okay, you can do more landscaping, or you can put a second story on your community services, on your community center. What are they going to tell us for the thousands we're going to spend?
It's an opportunity for the community and the board to be able to help identify basically a roadmap of what you want to get accomplished in the next 20 years.
But give us an idea of what those accomplishments could be.
Well, we've already done a lot of it because we've already done the master plan. So we kind of put the cart before the horse. Typically, you would do the strategic plan and then a master plan would follow. So that type of thing that you're going to have at some point in time, you need to update those master plans. Probably in the next 5 years. What's the schedule on those? About a 10-year master plan. So
we'll be
starting that in about another 5 years.
But we do that automatically. Basically, to bring a consultant in now and spend God knows what. And all I'm asking is, what's the end game? What is it that he's going to tell us that we don't already know?
It's just a roadmap into the future. It's a guiding principle.
You're avoiding my one question. What is it? Give me an idea of what in the future he's going to do that we aren't doing now that we don't already know we have to do.
Well, one example may be that you get community buy-in and support to create a parks district and for the entire community.
We have a parks district.
For the entire community, one.
Why can't we do that?
Well, you can do that.
We have a great parks and landscape director, very proactive. Everything we've done has been proactive. And what are you looking at spending on bringing a consultant that tells us what we already know?
I don't know.
It's just to put
Okay, so I get what you're saying, and I get what you're saying, and I agree with, that's my first thought was, what are we going to pay somebody to tell us what we already know? And so the only value, and I don't know if I agree it's worth the value, but the only value that I see in this, I may be wrong, but the only value I see in this is communicating to the public what our strategic plan is. Because as a board, that's what we discuss at every meeting. Where are we going? What are we doing? What's our vision? You know, what do we have going with the CIP? You know, all that stuff. But this puts it down on paper, and I understand that bureaucracies love to have plans, and you know, that's, and we're a mini bureaucracy here. I just, and that's when I go back to what Mark's saying, is I don't know if I see the value in it or whether it needs to be done. We're required by the state to provide a 10-year master plan every 10 years, and we were way late with the last 10-year plan.
I'm not aware of any state on that, but we do that to be proactive, so it's a guiding path.
I thought that we had a requirement to provide a 10-year plan.
There is. I'm not aware of that.
I may be off base on that then.
I think it's good business practice.
The LAFCA one, there is a 5-year.
Maybe that's what I'm confusing with the CMS, so maybe I'm confusing with that. But so we have a 10-year plan that, as you say, Rick, we're going to have to start working on again within the next five, six, 7 years to make sure that we're on the thing. At that point, if the board, whoever they are, decides that let's start with a strategic plan and work the 10-year plan into it, that may be a better time to transition into a strategic plan than, as you have said, we've already kind of got the cart in front of the horse. We already know the directions we're going. We already know what we're doing with. I mean, we've made some huge leaps and bounds in the last six years here with what we need to do to make this, to make the town reliable and provide what we need to provide for the community. And so I don't know if I think this is the time to do this or not.
Yeah.
I agree. I think the thing we do, the next 5-year plan, we'll share with the public.
And I agree with that. I think a lot of people in the public really don't understand the boundaries that we're not responsible for the roads, and we're not responsible for this and that, and that we don't get taxed the taxes that they pay on their homes. So I think either clarifying that in the pipeline or having it, maybe not even with a consultant, but maybe having an open town meeting where people would have the opportunity to learn the boundaries of what we actually are responsible for.
I happen to agree with that. It's what I was thinking, the same thing, is if we want to give whatever our vision is and what we're doing to the general public and get buy-in, there's a couple opportunities. One would be at the community center grand opening. We could have some, you know, boards on the wall. Here's our boundaries here, so we, and people can just look at them at their leisure. We could put it into the pipeline kind of a thing. I agree with the other board members. I think we're kind of there already. I don't see spending the money or the time and the effort to create something like this. Plagiarize this thing a little bit. Maybe we just kind of change some names and look at it, tweak it a little bit.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of.
They fit to what we're doing already, and we got a strategic.
Go ahead. Plagiarize. I don't want to hear it.
Oh, okay. Whatever. It's here.
Hey, save your eyes and plagiarize.
Yeah, absolutely.
As long as it's not copyrighted.
Oh.
Well, one of the things that I do, and that we do staff level, is I might not have everything articulated, some of the things that I would like to see happen, but they're back here in the back of my head, and as we hit different projects, sometimes things hit and they're not, they're just not planned. But I didn't think about that. Boy, I should have had a V8 moment. So what I think I'll do, I hear what you're saying, I think what I'd like to do then is just work with the staff on something lower key, staff level, within our different program areas, and we would have some long-term goals and objectives. Because right now we work kind of on one-year goals and objectives, and then come back to the board unless it or weigh in on it.
That would be great.
Can I say that? And to talk about a little bit what Marianne was saying about informing the public, you know, for those of us that's been on this board for a while, we have tried to engage the public, and I'm sure the same thing happens to all of us. Bill's out on the golf course with his buddies, or Marianne's talking to her friends over Kaleidoscope, or Mark's talking to his buddies down at the yacht club, or whatever. They'll ask questions about what's going on, and halfway through the conversation, they glaze over. They really don't care.
I was just going
to
say that.
Yeah, they really, and we would love to engage the public, and yes, they don't know exactly what our responsibilities are, but they never listen to, and they may genuinely listen to the answer, but the point is that the majority of the people out there don't really care, as long as the lights keep getting turned on, the parks keep getting mowed, and everything keeps happening. They don't care who's responsible for it.
I was just going to say that.
You know, and I'm not putting the public down at all. I mean, I appreciate those that do care and those that come to our meetings. But this is a perfect example of how much engagement there is. And you know what? To a certain extent, we should just say, that we're very fortunate because they must think we're doing a good enough job that we don't care. I mean, there was a time when there was a lot of people out in there, and they weren't here telling us what great a job they thought we were doing, whether they were right or wrong. So I think that, yes, we could focus on engaging the public more. I think we got that a couple years back when we developed a better website, a better avenues of communication, got the signboards, got the things that we need to communicate with the public, and the fact that we're not hearing about it says we must be fulfilling some sort of job well done.
Look around the room.
It was
published. It was in a little.
And
I shot it out to
it was published a number of places.
And I've had people contact me by email. I was homesick all week. I opened my email. I've had people contact me. This same family that's against this Newport Point project.
The Harleys.
Got two more from them this week. Are they here today? No. And what Marianne is absolutely true. You go in there and people don't give a damn. They just don't care.
You're doing a good job.
When the election was coming up and you guys ran this last election, I had somebody walk up and say, "I'm seriously thinking about running for the CSU. What do you guys do?" And I look, I said, "You really don't need to run for the CSU. You don't even have a clue what we do." "No, what do you do?"
Same comment Kevin made. I'm out talking with a couple of guys yesterday, and one of them mentioned, "Hey," I was leaving. He goes, "Hey, have a good time at your meeting tomorrow." And I didn't know it. He'd even, read about it. He says, "Oh, well, thanks. You know, it's open to the public. You guys can come." "Well, you guys start without us."
And we're not putting the public down. No. That's just the fact is that our latent powers are so limited that it's not like we are developing law. It's not like we're putting up street signs. It's not like we're affecting their everyday life. Unless we fail, then we're impacting their everyday life.
You remember when we did impact their everyday life back earlier in 2013, this room was full, standing room only, yep, when they were here talking, when you were considering community centers items.
And when they wanted the pickleball courts.
When they wanted the pickleball courts, yes.
When they don't want something, they assume that you're doing a great job, and you guys just go on doing what you're doing. So, I mean, to blow your brains out trying to include the public.
Yeah. Just a comment, Rick.
Hi, Karen, how are you?
Good morning.
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 I like your idea of, we have a strategic plan, and we go, like these guys talk about, we're always doing it. If we can help backfill some of these sections, and then I think, strategically, if at the staff level, you guys, your goals are aligning to this, and you're looking at these time periods, I think it'll roll up nicely, and your future discussions with the board.
Well, one of the things that I'm going to be doing as a part of this is, once that takes place, is in the budget, not in the budget, in the agenda reports you get every couple of weeks, there will be a section down there, complies with, and it'll either comply with the goal, an objective of, something in our master plan, with prior board direction. So when you go to open up that agenda report and you see, oh, okay, this goes back to this, it'll make more sense then to not only to the board, but really it's for the public.
Yeah. I think that an executive summary strategic plan like this is probably a nice piece to have in our communication platform. But yeah, I don't want to blow a bunch of time and effort. If it rolls into your next year plan, or as you guys
are, you just take chapter,
yes,
and make brief comments. Mm-hmm. I think that's what Bill was saying. Just take what we have here and take each chapter, just make a brief comment that covers that to a general extent. And we're probably spending more time on this than we need to.
I'm just going to make one additional comment, because this is something kind of a pulse I picked up in the past meetings, is how are we going to fund or make the community center work? And that's something that you all have talked about. So, maybe that is an area that needs to be looked at, since that was something that kept coming up. How are we going to support it? How is it going to make money? How is it going to work? So that would be the only thing that's hitting my mind, is something we've talked about in the past.
You had community center listed.
It's not on this agenda, but we can certainly talk about it.
Yeah, we just had a bullet point community center, and I'm not the specifics of that. But
that would be part of a strategic plan
Yeah.
that's been talked about several times in the past.
Correct, but I don't think we need a consultant.
Or a component.
Oh, no, I agree with that, but it does need to be.
Yeah, it needs to be addressed. We need to talk about, staff needs to have time to work on some concepts and things.
So we all pretty much in agreement at this point, we can move on?
Yeah, we'll come back.
The only thing,
it'll be a while, but we'll come back to the board with something, kind of give you an idea of what it is we're working on.
Yeah, I think one component that's sort of like this, I'd like to see some sort of, like the chart way in the back, I'm not that fancy, but something maybe you can do in-house that just tells us with some bullet point, the community, what we do. You know, did you know what services we provide? You know, kind of a board about the size of that. Bingo, we take care of this, we take care of wastewater, parks, da da da.
That can be pipeline as well.
Well, it could be in a pipeline, but it could be, especially if we can have something like that by the time we get the community center grand opening, whatever that is, and just have it there that the public can look at and view.
Yeah, I think, and those
and you
so
can have
little pieces of this that roll right into a pipeline article. Like if you're going to make it for the pipeline, you can easily plug it into. There's that one news article, the paragraph.
Right, and in the same thing, you could have on their volunteer opportunities. You know, and one would be the foundation coming up or something like that, and contact whomever.
Okay.
Yep, you got it.
Yes.
All right. Records retention and storage. Well, you don't have one. You should see the booster building, and I'm going to show you some pictures.
I'd have to go back to where I was before.
I don't have any.
Look at the screen here. We are storing boxes on pallets.
Perfect.
And look at this. We actually put in a, we actually built a box holder. And you can see in the picture, we built that piece of wood holding up the boxes.
So what are you going to do?
So what I'm recommending we do is
all the shredder.
No, it's Dan. You can't do that. Law doesn't allow you to. It allows you to do it once they've reached their life expectancy. But there is, we have a program called Incrementum that we already have. It's a microfiche system. We scan all of our documents into it. Mm-hmm. But documents going back to 98 until relatively recently are stored in the back building over here. And what we end up with is our documents that should be destroyed, they should be gone through, but the time and effort to have somebody go through them is pretty massive, it's pretty extensive. And so when the program is finally completed and you're up and running with a records retention program, is that Carol, for example, would get an email from the computer telling her that these files in these areas can be destroyed. And she just goes in, pulls them, and sends them to the shredder. Sends them to the shredded company that comes in and shreds for us. So it's 16 grand. It's not inexpensive. It's a one-time cost of $8,100, and then there's an ongoing maintenance fee for the program, the increment.
Who's feeding the system?
We do.
So this is just to set it up and have a consultant organize the project? And then we're going to have to use our own time to go scan our boxes? Is that what we're
doing? No, this includes scanning all the boxes. All
right. How much does that cost?
That is the, that's the first number.
8,100?
Yes.
So I can get a volunteer in here or somebody
it's not that way. They get dropped into a specific, depending on what document has to be filed and what its destruction period is. Some are 1 year, some are 2 years, some are 5 years, some are 7, 10, and some you have to keep forever. You can never get rid of them. And so what we want to be able to do is to be able to have those documents so that each year we get an email, Carol, from the computer each month or whatever the schedule is, will tell us that we can now destroy these documents. We cannot destroy documents without coming to the board that are technical documents. We are documents we have to have for a period of time. So we have to come back to the board with a destruction schedule, say we are going to destroy these documents, board. Are you okay with that? And you have to adopt it by resolution that you are destroying those records. We cannot just do it. It's not something that we can do.
Why has that never happened before?
We've built up, we've wanted to, but we've implemented a
a plan years ago. We followed the state of California Secretary of State retention policy, and then the board members or two had some issues with it. So we held up on it.
Do we follow the policy for the state?
No, we had some issues. The board members didn't want
it. Are we out of compliance right now with our records?
No, we're not out of compliance because we haven't destroyed anything.
Okay, all right.
So we're hoarding, exactly. Yeah. It's a good word.
I started coming here in 06 to the meetings, and I got on the board in 08. And I've never heard that come up one time, even when I was just attending meetings.
Yeah. What's that?
Destroying anything.
I know, it's never come up.
So where are all these records?
They're in the building, right?
They're in the building.
Okay, so, I mean, but in
look
the last...
They're there. They're off-site. They're multiple locations.
Okay, so, but why didn't
they're,
we...
They're in here?
Why didn't we destroy what we were allowed to destroy over the last 8 years?
Didn't have the plan.
There was never anything in place. There was never any program in place to do it. You can adopt a plan. You can say, we're going to do what the Secretary of State does. That's fine. That's easy. That's easier said than done. I worked a place in the past where they have a full-time employee that does just this. And I'm not recommending we have anything like that, but it is a massive effort. So it'll be a big, effort for us.
What I worded what I said wrong. If you're saying the state of California tells you to destroy them.
No, they give you guidelines.
They say you can. It doesn't say you
can.
Have to.
There are certain documents that have a certain minimum destruction period. Like I said, for example, board meeting agendas, packets, and minutes can never be destroyed. You have to keep them in perpetuity. Okay. Items such as letters that you might get from somebody, you have to keep those for maybe a year. Personnel records, if someone's applied for a job. After a year, if they didn't get the job, you can destroy those. If it's an employee that has left, 2 years after they've left, you can do it. Unless they filed a claim against you, then you have to keep it for another 7 years. There's these trigger points you have to follow, and that's what the system does. It puts those in place because it knows it's a computer program that does it. I don't know the intricacies or the basics and how it comes all together. But once the person puts the information in and builds our system for us, at that point in time, there are code numbers. And those code numbers get those documents then into the future. So newer documents that come in, Carol or Sue or Monica would then scan those documents into the system under those codes. And now it's built into the program. They're in there. You can destroy the hard copy, but then you have to keep the electronic copy.
So, in those boxes, if I'm hearing you right, the person that sets this up, they pick up a box, they're going to read every document in that box to see which one has to be a year, which one has to be 2 years, which one has to be...
That's correct.
And then after they do this...
They come in, they literally come in, and they move in for a few weeks.
Okay, but after they do this, and they put that box back together, well, this can be kept for a year, and this can be kept for 2 years, so next year they have to come back and take that same box apart again? And go through each thing.
No, they've all been digitally created. Those boxes then get shredded, and they're all scanned. And then we destroy the electronic version of it once that hits.
Not the electronic version. You destroy the paper copy.
You destroy the paper copy right out of the gate, but you have to keep an electronic copy so that then you go, and in 5 years you can then destroy that electronic copy. Yeah. Because you only have so much space on your servers to keep it all, and that's part of this program it's for the incrementum upgrade to accommodate this project.
But it also, I believe, had the feature to, if you wanted to find the word tenure master plan,
yes,
you type tenure master plan, and it finds all documents associated with those words. So you can look at it.
Yeah.
Oh, so they're gonna scan them so you can scan it. You can search the words.
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
We do that right now. With the documents that we have scanned, we do that as it is. Carol goes on there, she types in, I'll ask her to find a document regarding something. I know something took place. Carol, can you go search this?
All right.
And she'll go search it.
I get that. So
it helps with I think it helps. The retrieval is where I was looking for.
The retrieval. So I think if we need a digital records plan, I don't know if we have one.
That's what this does.
Okay, well, you're focused on the boxes. And so I think that we need to have a plan. And if it's a soft, Incrementum's a software platform or whatever, I think it's important, you know, as a public, I work on real estate projects. So I need to go look at municipal codes and through the web. And I'm able to go in there and zero down on different municipal codes, and I think it's important, the structure and being searchable. And I think if you got a big box problem here, yeah, you're gonna have to knock a box off a month or whatever the schedule you guys lay out. But if you need a platform, then you need to tell us about the platform and how you're gonna manage it. And is it gonna be public accessible?
No. Okay. That's exactly what this is. Exactly what you're talking about. That's what this is. Two components. One is they're gonna come in, basically scan all the papers. Yeah. Shred them as they're scanning them. And as they scan them, they put them into the computer system. And from here forward, and now we're on autopilot. My question is, it's $16,000 to get this thing going. What's our ongoing, either monthly or yearly, fee to that company to kind of...
Well, it's a software, so there's an annual... I don't know what that annual fee is. Carol, do you know what we pay Incrementum right now?
It's
minimal.
$200 thing versus a $2,000 deal? I don't know what... What do we?
I don't think it's in the thousands of dollars at all. It's minimal.
And we own the data.
But going forward, we do the input then. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Because we're caught up.
Yes.
Correct. Okay. So it's buying. You're just paying
somebody to get us caught up.
Correct. But then in
it's
the future,
the old microfish.
Yes. This whole thing. This whole thing will come back to the board with the.
There's no more boxes of paper.
No, we're going to scan at that point forward. Yes.
We'd like to include it in the 2014-15 budget.
So you can't do it this year.
If the board wanted me to move forward, I was planning on including it in the budget for next year. I mean, we're 5 months away from next year's
dry?
Budget.
Are the records dry and safe?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
That pallet right here, the one on the left, that we just moved those boxes because we ran out of room in here. So we moved those out here just about 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so bring this to the board and then
it'll come back to the board then. If you're okay with that.
Okay,
to do it today. We'll do this part of the budget.
Okay.
If you want to see it before that, if you want to see the proposal, the program, we can certainly do that. But
have it ready for the budget.
So that on July 1, we can sign the contract.
If that's possible.
If you would like to do that. Okay.
Yeah. Sooner the better.
Just enough. Rec 800 has the same system as well. And they went through the same scenario. Catch up the boxes and pay the $8,000 fee one time. But they even scan drawings.
I think it's powerful. Do we store the data on our server here, or is it going to be in the cloud somewhere? Is it going to be backed up on six ways or 10 ways?
Okay.
As long as I don't lose the records,
that's
the nightmare.
Yeah. Well, if there was a fire, you'd lose them fortunately, that building is a brick building.
It's just a chlorine problem. Yeah.
Well, even that.
Should we move on?
Yes. Mark's favorite subject.
Yeah, get past this real quick.
This is the picture that you can see up there. Is just I would not propose something necessarily as elaborate as this, but this is our neighbors to the south, Iyer Bethany. This is their facility. The vac truck, $256,000 vehicle, $250,000 vehicle. Which was how many, what was the GVR in that again?
58,000
pounds. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking about it after Virgil got me the information, I forwarded on to Mark. That's fully loaded with water and sewage, so that's probably the reason why it was more heavy than you thought.
You got a CDL driver driving that truck there.
Oh, yeah. 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 Violi has CDL drivers, and we have two CDL drivers as well.
You know, if you look at this carport that Byron Bethany has, it actually is terrible. No back, no sides, but it pours right through there.
Yeah, when the rain comes at an angle, correct.
Yeah, I mean, this is the same thing they had with the marina up in the Delta, where they built the high tops, no back, no sides, and people put their boats in there and couldn't stand out there during the winter because the rain came straight through and poured on them.
Well, we talked about a three-sided.
And the one we did is it backs up next to the existing maintenance building. It was, so we had one side, actually only two sides, really. The rest of it, the other two were open.
Why can't we get a Butler building or something?
What?
With roll-up doors, a steel building with roll-up doors. What's that?
Which money?
Oh, all right.
Well,
it's a lot more.
We can, you know,
$10-$15 a foot.
We can assess anything. We can look at anything. Our equipment's outside. This one has, I just showed the pictures, it's got a lot of rust on it. These are new pieces of equipment that are sitting outside all the time. Rubber, plastics, rolling stock row, if you will, damp treatment plant, all of our equipment's lined up against the back fence. Just sitting outside, getting beat up by the elements.
I was just going to say, we just pulled out one of our pieces of equipment with the, and it's small, it's minimal amount of money, but it snapped from rust yesterday when we were doing our turf enhancements.
Which was that?
It's the dethatcher on the grass.
So, at the end, I just think we own hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions of dollars of equipment, or into the millions, and we need to protect our investment, reduce maintenance costs, and extend the useful lives. How do we do that? I think you put it in a garage. You cover it. You know, is it going to be the perfect answer for everything? No, but it's certainly going to get it out of the baking sun in the summertime and the cold, brittle in the wintertime. In fact, that back truck, they had to wait for it. They needed to use it for that SSO we had over on, what was it? Key West. And they had to wait for it to thaw out before they could use it. The tube along the top.
The hose in the rear, the orange hose there, that's our water hose, and that's 600 feet long. And you use that to go in to clean it out, and it was all the water in it froze.
Frozen, you couldn't undo it.
Couldn't do that, correct. There's a hose, there's a pump in the middle of that truck, that like a water pump, builds up the pressure so you can shoot it high, and that hose line, which really runs on the top of that hose as well.
Now, I think this is more from ultraviolet light and wind and dust and things.
What's that?
The building.
It would have protected the, what we did here now in the wintertime now, we put a tarp over that, and we put a heater in there for right now. So because of the one experience we had, when we needed early in the morning, we couldn't utilize it. We had to almost call up Roto-Rooter to bring theirs out. And so anyway, we put a heater now in that tarp over it and make sure.
What other environmental concerns do you have for the equipment?
Environmental concerns?
Well, it's sun, wind.
Well, yeah,
winter and the sun.
It's the summer sun, and this vehicle is that tank, that gray. That's plastic, and it's a plastic tank. The tubes are rubbers and plastics. It's a big piece of equipment. The shed, the garage doesn't cost as much as this piece of equipment does, or the cover. So we would like to include it in the budget for next year.
The black hose that you suck up the raw sewage with, kind of like that long gooseneck around, that's very expensive, and that's a 10-inch hose.
It's not that I'm against, because I've fought this every year. I'm against the $150,000 to build a carport. I think it could be built way cheaper. You know, and I'm looking at it, we're crying fire in a movie theater. Go over to Newport Road where all the motorhomes are sitting. I keep my motorhome in there. Those motorhomes have been in there for years, just like mine has. There's no rust on it.
Well, but if you look at those motorhomes in boats that sit outside that are uncovered and unprotected, they're oxidized, they're
upholstery starts to deteriorate.
The upholstery starts to deteriorate inside unless they're covered up, unless the interiors are protected. They might not be rusting, but it's a different type of vehicle.
And taking care of the rest of our tools in the town?
Are you guys
oh, the boxes all, are all taken care
oh,
of?
Of course.
Yeah, I mean, the best part of having a good job is having a great toolbox. I mean,
some of these generators, they may or may not go in, depending on where they might be deployed to. These would definitely go in, the new light board and the boom lift would go in.
What's the potential for possibly leasing or purchasing the firehouse? And that would hold.
It only holds two pieces of equipment.
We could put some equipment in there, but we couldn't put we couldn't put the back truck in there. I mean, it would fit. It would fit, but it needs to be at the plant.
It's at the wrong location.
That's probably not a very, from going to the, and listening to the disposition of surplus properties at the meetings that I go to for the ECCFPD, probably not going to be reasonable for us to ever think about purchasing that building. With all due respect to our esteemed president, and this discussion has been going on for the 5 years that I've been on the board. It's come on every time. We've had discussions as to why it's so expensive. We understand we have to meet wind shear requirements, other requirements.
The wind and the earthquake.
And as a public agency, we are mandated. We can't just go stick up a structure that an individual or even a private storage unit can put up, because we have to meet, unfortunately, more stringent requirements, and so the costs are there. And I really think it's time for this board to address that situation. So I would like to see it get onto the next year's budget and have it move forward and get at least take it to a vote.
And I mean, just the price may go up only because new codes, building codes, went into effect on January that made it even tougher for earthquake. So a little bit more engineering and concrete and steel needs to be in place to meet some of those new codes.
We're past that now.
Jeff, so whatever we do is going to come back to the board. You know, we're going to be as efficiently cost conscious as possible.
Right.
But we'll come back to the board with a series of recommendations. Do you want it to look like this,
doors,
or this?
Open.
The irrigation district up here at the edge of Brentwood just put all new buildings. The GM there, she put all new. They're sat out for quite a while, and they just put new buildings with roll-up doors.
You see the aircraft hangars, you have a nice roll-out side doors.
I mean, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
But there's a cost factor.
I know. I get that.
Yeah.
It would be basic steel roof.
Well, and
power.
One option may be to look at just adding it onto the existing building that's out there, just continue that building.
We were looking at that on the south side of it.
Right. And use the back.
That's
the back wall anyway. So.
That's right.
Make an addition to the existing building instead of constructing a freestanding piece of it.
Given the budget.
Is that a reasonable
I think
direction?
So.
Yes, I want the direction. I'd like to see it be a lot less money than we're looking at.
Understood.
You know, I'm looking at equipment. We have this big generator that sits right out the door here. It's not covered in rust. We have another one sitting down the hill. It's not covered in rust.
Those pieces of equipment are built and designed to be in an outdoor environment.
So are cars and trailers.
I understand.
But let's just design it.
Yeah, we can beat this all day long, Rick.
Yeah.
But
I know.
Again, we're crying fire in a movie theater.
Yeah.
We don't. The truck's not covered in rust. I'll get voted down and we'll end the building, and I can live with that. But to keep coming back with, oh God, everything's covered in rust, show me where our truck's covered in rust. It's not. This isn't covered in rust. It's sat out longer than the truck has. So, I mean, if we want to put this thing up, let's just talk about putting it up and see if we can get the best price, and then we'll fight it out. But don't keep telling me that everything's covered in rust and we're going to lose it. Because it ain't. Okay, next.
On February the 19th, John Fawcett and Tom
Ernest.
What's his last name?
Ernest.
I think maybe Marianne is the only one, maybe Bill, hasn't met Tom before. Ludorf and Scaminini are water engineers. They're going to come to the board on the 19th and give the board an update on the basin, our underground basin.
Aquifers,
where we're at.
Where we're taking water.
In my conversation with him the other day, he was fairly confident that the information they had and the data that they collected was that we're in good shape. But his comment was also that if we have an extended, this drought continues, that it could pose potential problems. So we're gonna get all that information in 2 weeks. That said, as you know, we are in a drought. This was as of January the 14th. And on January the 28th, the dark red is severe drought, and the dark red is extreme drought. The governor, as you know, had the drought declaration. That 4-cent stamp in the upper right-hand corner was from 1960. I thought that was kind of interesting. But in Discovery Bay.
You found that?
Yeah, I found that.
I mean, I collect stamps, so I would just.
Oh, I found it online.
Oh.
So. The you know, we have water in backyards. Many of us we're used to seeing a lot of water, but at the end of the day, This is Lake Amador earlier in the month of January. Far from the water. You can see the docks at Folsom Lake here, and while we don't get surface water, it's just an indication of where we're at. The picture on the right, the middle one, if you will, was taken on January the 13th, 2013, and the picture on the right was year to the day, 2014. I'm just showing you that just because it's an indication of where we are today. SBX 7, Senate Bill 7, that was implemented in 2009, said that we have to have, as a water district, we have to have a 20% reduction by 2020. How will it affect us? Water suppliers, urban water suppliers, of which we are, with 3,000 service connections, which we do have, and sales of 3,000 acre feet, which we exceed, must comply with this. Compliance is required for any state grants, but after 2021, failure of an urban retail supplier could subject us to a violation, civil violation similar to what we get from the water board right now on the wastewater side.
And the way that they monitor that is through our production?
Through our production, yeah. From 2011 through 2013, we used 1.183 billion gallons, 12.2 million gallons, and in 13.285 million. I mentioned this at the last board meeting. And in 2008, we peaked at 1.328 billion gallons, which is 43 million more than we had in 2013.
Are the numbers per capita or total production?
Total production.
So they would not take into consideration that by 2018, let's say, we might have 1,100 more homes in Discovery Bay, and therefore our consumption would go up?
I'm sure that it's a per capita.
Okay,
but so that's a per capita, but this is these are just the raw numbers right here.
I understand. I'm just saying we have some potential growth going on that we know about. By the time Hoffman builds out his 500 lots or whatever, and Pantages and whatever else might happen.
So by 2025, AB 2572, water meters. About 2,100 is about a third of our connections right now, I believe it's about right, are metered currently. As you know, the company that we use to do our reading for us, Datamatic, they are in bankruptcy, and they have formed a new company. It was Datamatic
Limited,
and now it's Datamatic Limited, or no, the other way around?
The other way around.
And from what we've been hearing, a number of their customers are moving and migrating to different systems. So we're concerned. We've been actually been meeting with companies to see where we're going to go, so that if that does indeed happen, we have an opportunity. This is just one of the companies that came. We met with them yesterday. We've been talking to companies that are in the same type of business that do automated meter reading. So this is just one of the things. And if we do migrate to a new system, it might be time.
That was a tough thing, talking to the engineer about wireless systems. You know, there's a lot of buggy, and there's a lot of it. The industry hasn't aligned on what the standard is for the closed loop system. And
well, the system that's in place right now is a mesh network, and so it goes from one read point to another, and then it finally gets downloaded to Dallas, to somewhere in Texas. The newer systems are not on a mesh. They're completely different. They have one point where all the reads go to, and then it gets sent out wirelessly. Their failure rates are much smaller than we're experiencing right now with the mesh. So we're looking at options.
But it's still the top. You know, they're different. If you're familiar with meter readers, you had your manual reads. Some districts still do that today. City of Brentwood uses what they call a drive-by, which was a step up. We are up on the top tier right now that we went to, called AMI, automatic meter reads. And so, but there are different types of automatic meter reads, like Rick had talked about, we're on a mesh versus a readout. City of Brentwood right now, for whatever reason, is still doing a drive-by. So they put their little unit on their garbage trucks, and as the garbage trucks go by weekly, it's picking up the usage.
That's interesting.
I think there's technologies out there. I don't like farming the data off-site and or out of the compound here. And so if there's a way of doing something to read, I think it's important to keep a local and not going to Texas. I mean, that's ridiculous. I think that...
Well, it's backed it up.
It's a backup.
But I'd want it to go to the in-house.
We do have it here. We absolutely have it here.
And I have a mechanical backup, too. I wouldn't trust a digital readout.
You do have that backup. Okay. There are, in fact, the system that we just passed along...
What's going to happen with the records of this company that's gone bankrupt?
Well, we're not sure yet right now. That's why we are evaluating our options. And we may have to switch from Datamatic to we've met with this company.
Did that switch out the meters again?
No.
Okay, so
we switch out the tops of them.
So
the electronics.
Okay. We've had. I don't want to create an issue where there's not, but I know that we've had issues with the meters that were there. We've had to go and we've had to replace meters because they either weren't working or they weren't working properly or they weren't, I don't remember all the details. And so I do remember that we went through an expense of replacing a lot of the existing meters at one point in time.
Not the meters, the units.
The
you have the meters.
I thought there was different sizes and we were having issues with the...
You had only, Centex had a meter that was 5/8, that was the smallest. And then you couldn't go to the AMI system unless you replaced that meter. That was the only one.
Okay, so it was just that Centex. Thank you for explaining that, because like I said, I'm not trying to create an issue.
No.
Well, there's not an issue, but I want to make sure that we don't get into a situation, you know, and then it's just a pisser when you hear that the company you've been working is going bankrupt, because now we know that we're going to have to replace at least something that a new company can do.
But the one that went bankrupt, they formed a new company, Inc., and they took over. But
do I trust the management of one?
Well,
that's
correct. If Limited went under for whatever reason, and they're trying to
and they're reopening,
and they're reopening to get rid of all their creditors, because we get letters from the creditors, once or twice a week. We don't know. You know, the confidence level isn't real great.
It's pretty obvious what's going on.
Yeah, the light at the end of the tunnel is dark.
How approximately? I don't know if you know how many. How many companies nationwide provide this type of service?
The top where you automatic read, there are probably about a dozen or
okay.
more of them probably coming.
How, and about how long has this technology been out?
Long time.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So
it started out with the mesh system.
No, it started out with the other way.
The
read, the one antenna to read.
So if we have to change companies, which means we'll have to change readers, what's the expense to us?
$2,100.
Well, we don't know the whole thing yet. It'd be that read thing and then whatever reads that out and the software associated with it.
We're buying them anyway.
So potentially $2,100.
Well, no, we'd have to redundantly. $2,100 would have to be replaced.
Right.
The other $4,000
would come online with the new.
The entire meter,
as you see it right there, I think you told us yesterday, and this is just one company, and this is a company that was here yesterday. This is one of their meters. What do you say, about $250 for the meter and the reader together?
And what's the labor to put it in?
Take the meter to pop in, depending on if it's replace an existing one.
Right.
It's probably 10-15 minutes.
No, I'm talking about if you go into the old part of Discovery Bay, if the time comes and we eventually put meters in.
They're going to vary. And the reason
people have boxes that are big enough, some people don't have boxes that are big enough, some people don't have boxes at all, some people's boxes are gone.
San Bay Isle has no boxes at all.
Ours are dual boxes for, yeah. I mean, we have a box for two units, which isn't going to work. So, you know, and so it's not going to be an easy solution
for each one,
nor making a decision on how that's going to work out from a cost perspective, because it's unique to every household.
The homeowner pays for the installation. That's and Virgil, correct me if I'm wrong. When you rolled it out before, you had 1 year to pay for it interest-free over a year if we paid for it?
We did it, broke it into 12 months.
And it was added to their water bill.
Right.
And if they chose to do it,
we didn't
give them that option.
And it was like, if I remember, it was like $700 to put the meter in.
Yeah, it's probably be around $500 on it for a low-end one, including no meter.
The meter?
So I own the meter then, as a homeowner.
Pardon me?
I own the meter. It's not your meter, it's my meter.
Yeah, but then if it goes bad, then you'd have to buy a new one. So what we've done is we maintain it. It was more the installation of that unit, and then we maintain it.
If you bought the house brand new, you paid for the meter when you bought the house.
But I don't. But I already own a house.
I know.
So I'm buying the meter.
Yeah. Or the decision might be, the board might say, we pay to put that in, and we maintain that. You might not want to charge
you more. At that point, you put it. You know, you can also establish a meter fee. I mean, I pay $15 a month for a meter fee. It pays for the replacement of a meter down the road.
They generally have a 15 to 20 year life.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm getting at. So, who owns it?
And then when your gas meter breaks, who owns it?
PG&E.
I mean,
do they charge you for it?
Up to the board how they want to do it.
The homeowner shouldn't own the meter. The town should. The town should be liable for the meter. It's bad enough the homeowner's got to pay to put it in.
The issues scenario could be now if you do say you want to roll out to the existing homes that do not have water meters, is the ones who don't have meter boxes, San Bay Isle, for example, who pays for that? Is it the HOA, or do we just incur that cost to intercept their water line, put a water meter box in the meter, and build them individually?
And they can do they can do a sub-meter system over there, too.
Well, that's a decision.
Where we get one bill from the meter, one bill, and then the HOA,
maybe.
there's a sub-meter system.
And then, or another is the meter boxes are in some driveways, in a stamped driveway, and now the meter box is too small because you need to accommodate the meter and the unit. Now you need to soft cut that. More than likely, you will never match the color of that driveway.
That should make homeowner happy.
There's going to be a few of those.
It's not a pleasant scenario, no matter how you look at it, but it's inevitable. And so the situation comes down to education, trying to work out a system, trying to get the board to become somewhat, agreed upon or, within the board on what the right way to do it is, that has a fair cost impact across the board to the homeowners. And if a homeowner doesn't have a box, and I happen to be one of those homeowners, I'm going to end up paying more.
Well, then here's another scenario. I know of three homes existing today that have palm trees. That, as palm trees grow, they spread. It's over the water meter box.
Right. They're going to get the box.
The palm tree needs to come out because the root is really spread out.
So we have an easement.
So now, do we tell the homeowner, you need to cut that tree down, or do we do it? Give them the option.
Well, we're going to trump
the water. Election here.
Yeah. I have a proposal here, and I think for staff, I think that...
they need to think about.
I think the board is going to have a 10-year plan on this, and if a phase-in is whatever over those 10 years or 5 years...
We barely have 10. We don't even have 10 years.
We have 10.
Have 5 years.
We have to be able to
monitor people's water for a reduction by 2020, and the only way we're going to do that is every house has a meter. Even though we don't have to have the meters in until 2025, in essence, we need them in by 2020, so we're complying with the excessive water usage guidelines, and we don't receive fines as a district because we don't want to put water meters in. We've just had 5 years cut out of that plan, is from what I've just seen in our presentation.
I have a series of recommendations regarding water consumption and water reduction is to, and we talked about in the mission, vision, values, and goals about stewards of the environment, and this is one of those situations. Encourage people to reduce water consumption and give them realistic examples. Fix your leaky faucets, fix your leaky toilets. Maybe we investigate rebate programs so that people can convert their toilets, their 7 5-gallon toilets, to the low flow toilets. Many, many water districts do that. It's not uncommon. We haven't done it. It would be something we would have to look into. promote water conservation efforts on our website, on our Facebook page, in our newsletter. Those are pretty standard. Those are easy to do. Implement the Reclaim Water Project, the wastewater treatment plant. That's one project that saves a couple hundred gallons a minute, if I remember, out of the system. Do you remember that number, Virgil? It's at least 100 gallons a minute, because we use water for, we use treated water.
I think it's 450 gallons.
We use treated water in our wastewater treatment plant for the clarifiers and for the bell press. And so at plant two, so what we're looking at doing, and we've discussed this in the wastewater subcommittee's heard this a little bit, is to put in a reclaim water project down there just to serve the plant. So water, the reclaim water, as it leaves our plant, instead of going off to Old River, a pipe would be diverted, and it would then take up that process. It would then go to the clarifiers and then over to the oxidation ditches, or to the bell presses. And it would run that program. So we would internally save water. It's not an inexpensive project, but it's not over the top either. I believe the initial estimate is about 125.
I don't know about the dollar.
Yeah. Is that, Kevin, you recall that being about that number?
I don't remember.
And last but not least would be to, within the next 3 years, to complete install by 2016.
Of water meter.
Yep.
What I'd like to do is maybe have a study session, sort of like what we're doing right now, just strictly on water meters and that. So we'd have, and allow staff time to go out and bring us all these issues, palm trees, this, that, so that we can really sit around and talk about it. We can't make decisions there. And it may take two meetings or so, or three, whatever. We'll get it better and better and better. And then now we're at a position where the board's very comfortable. We know we've analyzed all the different options, and we can start to issue some sort of a time frame on when we're going to start to implement this. It's a matter, as has been said, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. But I think it would help all of us come up to speed if we're allowed to sit down and talk about it in two or three different meetings like this. I think that would help.
I agree 100%, and I would like to have it done in the first half of this year. And I think what our goal should be is to discuss it among the board, in a public workshop environment, so the public would be welcome. But as we know, a lot of public won't show up. When we start to make decisions, a lot of the public will show up. So I think it's important that we have those workshops. We talk about it in an open, transparent field, but that we get a good feel for it. We understand where we want to go with it, and then we can start to educate the public as to why we made the decision, why we need to make the decisions we need to make. But I know that we are all in agreement in this, but I really feel that we really need this do this in the first half of 2014.
And that is a attainable.
Do we have
giving you enough time to put together options and answer questions? I know Virgil's pretty well educated on this already.
You know, the one of the things we're doing is we get water leaks today, and generally a water leak is from the meter box going back to the street or to the main. We put in larger size water meter boxes already. We put what we call a meter jumper, which is a PVC piece that's in there, so you would pop it out, drop your meter in. So what we're doing is we're preparing as we get water leaks, but they're only a few a year that we're doing.
But here's the deal: so somebody that's gotten a leak that you've got to replace is now has a financial advantage over somebody that didn't have a water leak.
That's correct, because they had a leak and we had to tear it out.
So their cost is going to be less than what anybody else's cost is, and the town has already paid for that repair
because we had to fix that leak.
But we already had to dig up the street anyway, so it's not like it cost the town money.
Yeah, we had to. Anyway.
New box.
Right. Well, so that new box should be part of what the cost impact of that. It's just, you know, that's where it's going to become a huge issue, and I know that's where
Simon has the issue.
It's going to be the fairness of distribution of cost throughout each individual. It's not going
to
be fair.
It has to be vetted at this level.
When the time comes to put them in, everybody should pay the same thing. You can't tell your neighbor you paid $250 and I paid $400. And I had a palm tree, and he paid $650 across the street.
We're gonna have to have
it's a standard water connection.
I understand what you're saying, and I kind of tend to agree, but I don't know if that's reasonable or practical. That's why we have to have. That's why what Director Peace said about having
this
discussion.
We may have to go. Fortunately, it's small. It's confined. It's not a huge area. We could probably send somebody out
To do a survey.
To survey and walk and check them all out. It would probably take a couple of weeks for
Better than that would be to put a plan together through Virgil's department to where we start that already. You're out working on a block, do a survey of that block.
The next three streets already done.
You see what I'm saying? And so let's start that procedure now, and then we have the survey, because that's not going to change between now and 10 years from now.
Right.
If you have a box, you have a box. If it's covered, it's covered. If it's in a driveway, it's in a driveway. None of that's going to ever change. We should already start, and you say you have three streets done, so when you're out working on a street or something, or Aaron just has time or whatever, go survey Discovery Point, or go survey whatever.
Bring back 10 cards,
go
right?
Survey South Point.
Whatever it is.
Why South Point? Stay all off my street. I see that truck coming down my street.
Get a tire shot out.
Camouflage.
So I would ask staff to direct staff to start those surveys sooner than later.
Yeah, we'll come back to you with a.
But remember where do I live? Barber Bay condominium. It's private property, and you're not allowed on there. So don't survey on the street.
We have the right to go up. We have the easement.
Yeah, that's gonna be a fun one.
So do we want to have a water conservation?
I don't live in the right place.
Lou Erickson will be sitting here, I'm sure.
So guys, we're trying to figure out this year's goals or next year's goals, and so is this a water? Are we gonna have a water conservation plan this year or next year?
Well, we're gonna start. I mean, the water conservation plan.
No, we have a written document.
Yeah, I think we should have one. I think it should. We actually have money in the budget to put one together. I believe it's in the. Master, I believe it's in the
master plan. The
master plan. We actually have.
We
it.
Have started to. We're looking at putting some one sheet document together, so as staff runs across somebody's home that's constantly overwatering, we can leave them a little note saying you've been noticed. You're overwatering. Can you please conserve something along those lines? A lot nicer
look,
words.
Ludorf has been working. Is tasked with that, and we do have.
We have some we can.
Yes.
Refer to. Okay.
Yes.
Perfect. Yes.
So let me, we talk a lot about conservation. I think it's all wonderful. We all talk about it. We don't do anything about it, but we talk about it.
We should do something about it.
But I'm looking at 2013. We're using less water in 2013 than we did in a banner year, which was 2008. And we've got over 200 or 300 more homes than we had then. So we are conserving water.
We are
using a hell of a lot less water than we were. And my other biggest argument is, if you're so worried about conservation, why are we allowing more building? At this point, until the water crunch is over, why are we issuing a will serve to anybody or even considering Newport Point?
Because we don't have land use authority.
But we have water authority. And
we do not have the right to decline the usage of water. That's our primary function. We can't use water as blackmail for building. We would be sued up one side and down the other if we said, we're not going to give you the rights to water and the county has given them the rights to build. We would be sued right out of this building. We do not have that right.
I believe we do. I think, Kevin, I think you're speaking way out of school. And have you tested this with somebody?
We've discussed it with our legal counsel, yes.
Okay, well, why don't we discuss it with us for the legal counsel? Because I think
we
you're wrong.
We can do that.
You have drought conditions. You have a development that needs to be annexed into our town. And to tell them, okay, we're going to annex you and give you our water service and make our residents pay for it because we're in drought conditions, don't tell me we can't do that, because I know we can. We're not forced to give somebody water in a drought condition. And to say that you've discussed it with legal, that's not your job. Is for the board to discuss it with legal.
Well, I did preliminary conversations with... I've had conversations with legal counsel on it, with both Rod and Dan, and Rod is... As you know, he was legal counsel to San Joaquin LAFCO. He's very familiar with the LAFCO process, similar to their LAFCO, similar to our LAFCO. And he agrees with Director Graves' comments. He may be wrong, you're right, he may be inaccurate.
This is an exception. I mean, it's not talking about time immigration. And we're just turning them down because we don't want them.
You'd have to term that as a moratorium. So you'd have a temporary moratorium on issuing that for 6 months or 1 year or something, but you couldn't if never.
No, I'm not saying never. I'm not saying never. I'm saying at this point, well, we're looking at drought conditions. We're looking at making the residents here who are already paying pay more. We're making them come out of pocket to put meters in. We're doing everything we can do to conserve water. And in the same breath, we're going to say to a developer who's not even in our, he's going to be annexed here, help yourself. We'll pay for it. And I believe that you don't have to do that.
Well, you can't be selective. I understand that,
but they're going to be using water.
They both have to be annexed.
They would. Well, and you can't be selective. You can't say no to new.
As Bill just said, you have a moratorium on building until the drought's over. If it's a year, if it's 2 years, and that's what it is.
We do not have that latent power to put a moratorium on building. We do not have. This district does not have that kind of power.
I think we have the power to put a moratorium on giving a will serve.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we just ask staff to get a legal opinion, and bring it back to us so we know where we stand.
I would be all for that. I think it's a great idea.
Right now.
It'll help us get to the next
item. We'll have a better idea also after Ludorf and John show up at the meeting on the 19th. With their final analysis and their final data as relates to the long-term sustainability.
Well, maybe at that same meeting, if you could ask legal staff to be prepared to discuss their legal opinion of moratoriums and prevention of expansion of new homes, et cetera. Then we'll have both. We'll have how much water we've got in the future and legally what we can and cannot do.
Yeah, to protect existing sources.
How many homes will Village
500? Total from, there's about 700 when they started. So there's probably, there's probably 550.
Five left, yeah.
Okay. And then you've got
three.
We can't
do anything about those. Those are already entitled, right?
Yeah, and then you've got 360 with
Pantages.
Pantages and Newport Point.
No, 292 with Pantages.
360 with Newport Point. For both of them together is 360.
We're on the hill, yeah.
You have 292 units plus a sheriff station plus 67.
Right. Okay.
And then landscaping. No moss. Associated with that. The common landscaping.
Well, yeah, but that's. Yeah.
I mean, at least there are no parks going in either one of those.
That's unfortunate.
Huh?
That's unfortunate.
Well.
We're getting the money,
we're getting wetlands park fees. And we're getting some other deals. But we'll have that discussion at another time.
The item on the list that I do want to include in the budget for next year is the reclaimed water project. Down at the plant. Greg Harris has done some preliminary work on it. We want to move that project forward.
Which will
work. That may come sooner than later.
But that'll work well into water conservation,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
How big of a customer are we on that to ourselves?
Wastewater?
Yeah, for processing wastewater. How much are we taking out of the tanks to process wastewater?
We're probably, as Rick had indicated, we're probably utilizing 450 gallons a day, a minute for that.
Is
that 24/7?
No, an hour rather. 450 an hour.
Is that 24/7?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Can we know what that is percentage wise to total consumption?
I probably can go back and figure that
out. Yeah, we can.
1%, 5%, 5%.
We're running a million and a half gallons a day going out. Then you just divide it.
So 450 times 24 and then divide it in there.
That's 450 a minute.
Times 60 times 24.
450 a minute? You said an hour.
I mean an hour.
So gallons times per hour. 24. Yeah.
But you also got to allow.
No, 450 gallons per minute.
I don't think it's that much, but I could be wrong.
But anyway, you can let us know how that.
Just it'd be nice to see how we're going to conserve and how that's going to affect the overall plan.
Yeah, it's not. It's a much. It's not.
Can't be that much, right?
Can't be. It's right. 250 million gallons a year. It's not.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, yes, I think that's a great idea.
Today. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's something we're
sooner than later.
We're playing forward on. Yeah, we may bring that to the board sooner, but the construction component of it would not be until the July budget. Budget calendar, if you go back to the budget calendar, that was between the two blue sheets. I can't read the screen, so I'll look at it on my here. Somewhere right here.
Can you get a cushion on this?
We've already started the budget process besides this meeting with the establishment of the budget calendar. We're going to do some changes this year internally in how we roll out the different parts of the budget. As you can see, the first three are internal. The first three items, starting out with any potential staff changes, personnel changes, what the capital improvement project is going to look like moving forward into next year and beyond, as well as the next one would be our O&M, which is our day-to-day business at the district. We plan on April 17th, May 1st, and if necessary, May 8th, meeting with the budget subcommittee, which would be President Simon and Director Pease. And so we have those dates scheduled, and those dates can change depending on your schedules, obviously, but those are the basic parameters and the basic dates that we've selected. We would bring it to the board on May 21st just to roll it out. Here it is, guys, no real discussion on it. Here it is for public consumption. Take it home, read it. The next meeting would be a workshop to talk about it, similar to this meeting right here, budget workshop. We would then present the revised budget after the workshop to the public and to the board, and we would adopt it on June 18th. And it would be very similar to what we did this year, last year, where we did the 13, 14, 14, 15. We'll do 14, 15, 15, 16. The CIP will roll out another year, so it'll continually be a five-year CIP. So you know what that forecast is going to look like. So if you have any questions about that, any suggestions, recommendations, it's a pretty standard item, and Dina will get with the two of you once we get closer to picking the actual dates for the subcommittee meeting. I know Mark's sometimes has difficulty with mid-afternoons.
Tough for me.
Yeah. Well, evenings are tough as well because of family commitments.
No, literally.
They're not tough for me, but they're...
Really?
Okay. And you know, and they're here too, so, you know, it's tough. Any questions?
No.
Not Phil. That was reasonable.
Plenty of time.
An hour and a half. Are we halfway through?
We're done. Oh. We are up to you guys. What do you want? What are the items that we didn't cover? What is it that you want from us? What is it that you want to get accomplished in this next year? Whether it be a calendar year or a fiscal year, moving on.
All right. So I'd like to make a list of future goals, and it doesn't have to, or, you know, future items that we can work on, and, you know, it doesn't have to be wind up with this year's goals, but it would be nice to have. I do want to update on the park consolidation, on all the landscaping and park districts, and find out what are the zones, so that I'd like to know where we are with the county on that, and if we're on track to have those completed here this fiscal year.
I can give you an update on that right now, if you like.
No,
I you probably should hear it.
Okay.
It is the draft document is in county council. We have seen a blind copy, if you will. They brought it into us, showed it to us, and they took it away. They would not let us have a copy of it because it had not been reviewed by county council. And Farron, how many times and how many emails have I sent to those guys in the last 60 days?
I just talked to them on Thursday.
And what was their response?
I still have not heard back from them.
We've been, I mean, and I keep telling them, I am getting beat up by my board, and I'm pointing to Chris, because I know it's a hot button for him, on this, and we just cannot get it out of county council's office, and I was going to...
Is it a workload problem? Or
I don't know what their issue is. It's not a priority for them. And so it may need at some point to be elevated up the food chain, but I think that I haven't gone there yet. I haven't brought it to the board because they keep telling me 30 days out. So I think we are getting to the point where we are getting very close to bringing up the food chain.
I apologize. You're addressing the
park
agreement?
Transfer agreement.
Oh, the park. Okay, thank you. I'm sorry.
Okay, so that gives you an update on that.
Yeah, well, that's great.
Likewise, because it sounds so familiar and similar, I was wondering if we were talking about where we are with the Hoffman Community Center. We're kind of in the same kind of ballpark with a different department, I guess, on that, or a different group of people.
They are,
similar story.
Yeah, the two of you and I need to chat on that because Chris, did you ever get the copy eventually?
I did.
Okay, good. So we just need to give them our basic blessing on that so that they can, they're ready to bring it to Mr. Hoffman from what I understand.
So we get that done by March 1 or?
I think we can, I think we're very close.
3 days or something?
Do you need it?
This is the agreement with Hoffman. I call it the triple flip, the county, the town, and the Hoffman Company.
Right, this is the discussion of the Hoffman Company's contribution to the community center, 12 lots thing.
Closing that agreement, the whole thing.
Finalizing that agreement.
That kind of, we're the third party observant, but yet want to try to maintain as much input as possible in that process. Are you saying you need time this week for Chris and I to come sit in your office and talk to
you? We need to finalize that so that they can bring it. Once it gets done, it's at the kind of staff level, if you will. It's at my level, it's at the county staff level, and it's at the Hoffman staff level. They're ready, Hoffman's ready with my approval to say, David,
who replaced
John Amaral?
Nobody replaced him, but his boss was John Amaral, and John's taking
John
over.
Can be filling that role. They're ready to take it to Mr. Hoffman, as long as we have a basic framework. And we have a basic framework, then we'll come back to you guys. We'll come back to all three parties then. We just want to get Mr. Hoffman's buy-in prior to, if he doesn't buy into it, there's no sense in.
So we need to present him the
offer. We just need to present him a document that we think that we've all kind of agreed to. It's nothing that, it's the same document, same basic terms that we've discussed before.
Let's keep the ball moving. I'm hoping that we can have the board have something in the next month or two to give a blessing on, and
we pretty much met his criteria.
Yeah,
his criteria was that we had a way to sustain it.
His criteria has been a moving target. That's,
of course, it is.
Problem.
it has been, and we've zeroed it in, and John Amaral and David Lennon, when I met with them 2 weeks ago, it was David's last day.
Did he retire, or did he go on to something else?
I think that David decided it was time for him to take a break. I offered to have him be a consultant for us, but he politely turned me down.
So I'm glad.
Anyway.
Can I make a comment on that?
Somewhere
in your document or your communications with Ken, because I have met with him a couple of times years ago, he is really sensitive to young kids or programs dealing with kids or disadvantage. There was somewhere you mentioned something like that, that the community center is going to reach out to that. Just an FYI, he likes that.
Well, the document doesn't discuss.
I know that.
Programming per se, it talks about age and community appropriate programming.
Yeah.
So it kind of throws it all.
Well, you could put it in there. An example would be. Now you talk about the swim club and all the river otters are going to be and all the other things that could go on.
Okay, so Chris?
I don't want somebody else to
ask. You said you had...
I've got other ones, but somebody else have her speak. I'm not going to take this more.
Yeah. I went to the CSDA meeting at the Conocosta Central Sanitation District. That's where they hosted. I don't know who else.
Did you go to the one just last week?
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to bring it up at our next meeting, give you a report because I went there. But one of the things I would like to do, I'll spend my time and my dime on it. I'm not looking for a committee and all that. But in talking to some of the people there and how they operate it, and actually that one facility is much, much bigger. Now they do 45 million gallons a day out of there. But there were some discussions on possibility of energy savings and things along that line. So I want to investigate through them and other places, is there ways that we can come up with something to help save energy in our own district reduce our PG&E bill, basically. And so I'm going to volunteer myself to go after that. I think there's got to be something there. And then along the same line on financing, I think, and I had mentioned this before too, but I'll do it on my own. The county budget, how much property taxes is the town pays in relationship to the services that we get back? And it's kind of a pet peeve of mine, and I think there's ways that we could probably go to the county at some time if we can put together a packet of information and maybe get some additional sheriff officers assigned full-time out here. And that's something I would like to go after. I just want to let the board know I'm going to, behind the scenes, do that. If I can come up with anything, and certainly I've got to bring it to the board to get any type of advancement to move forward or any of that kind of stuff. But I think there's ways we can save some money somehow, some way. And if I can't get it figured out in the next year, park that idea, but it's just bugging.
Yeah, that's great that you want to spend your time doing that, Bill, and I think could be an asset to the community. But the only thing I would say is that before you would have any discussions representing the board to our sheriff's department, that the board be on board with.
Oh, don't question with that. None whatsoever. Okay. I would never do that. The only thing I'm looking to do is
try to get some
numbers, all the background stuff that we would need to even get to the point to bring it to the board to even discuss going forward, certainly.
And I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just want to advise the board. I might have to ask Rick, gee, what's the PG&E bill for, so I can gather enough data for myself to be able to talk to other people intelligently about what we do and how we do. And the same thing on the taxes and those kind of things. I just want to let everybody know that. And if something can come of it, then certainly we're going to have to talk to it at this level.
On that same level, that's kind of the role that I have with ECCFPD right now, because it looks like there's at least a possibility, if not a great possibility, of us going down to three stations in the district. They'll eliminate two more stations. We'll go from five to three because that grant is running out. I think if they were smart, they'd do it prior to the grant running out so that people would understand what the impact is going to be, but I don't count on them doing the right thing because, in my opinion, if the board has a chance to make a right decision or a wrong decision, they will choose the wrong decision every time.
Who's the two stations that go close?
Well, this is the issue. So here's the information for our purposes and where the board needs to be aware of what's going on. Monday's a meeting. We'll see. It's not on the agenda, but I believe that there will be some public comment about it. Prior to Station 58 closing.
One right here?
Yeah. 58 closing, we actually were paying a disproportionately less amount per capita for our services than the rest of the district was paying, because we had two stations in an area that had a limited population when you take into consideration Brentwood and Oakley. That was part of their beef. We weren't paying our fair share of the things, Once they closed that station, now we're paying a disproportionately amount higher than if Brentwood for their two stations is paying a nickel and Oakley for their new station is paying about 7 cents per capita, we're paying like 12 cents per capita out here for our station for the amount of services we get, contribution to the district, right? Because we're supporting the other stations also. So the our position. And I think the board, at some point, I would like to come to the board and have the board take a position on this and write a paper, have staff write a recommendation that says, this station has to stay open if we go to a three-station model. Because Brentwood's going to fight, and they have better representation on the board than we do. They're going to fight to keep their two stations open, and Oakley will keep their new station open. And then now here we are, 12 minutes from the nearest station to service accidents. We'll lose our, what's the emergency group?
EMT.
We'll lose our, the EMT, but there's another.
AMR.
Lose our emergency personnel that houses itself in that office, in that station. And that would be just devastating. It'd be devastating for the district. And considering that we are the third largest concentration of population in the district. I think that we need to make sure that we're staying on top of this, and so I'll keep you guys informed. But it's not pretty. It's not.
I agree with you. I just read they're going to spend $125,000 on a consultant.
They already did. They did this last year too, though.
To tell them how to put it together to go out to the public, and they're thinking of having this all done by February 28th. Uh-huh. That's only 1 month from now.
And Bill, it's even worse than that because we went through this 2 years ago. Remember when they came up with $197 that didn't get through the ballot process? Now they're only going for 90 because that's where this consultant has told them the price point will be acceptable. The point is that the consultants really don't do anything to really go out and do and get and grassroots advocate for this thing. They just tell you what you're supposed to do. The only people that really get behind it are the firemen themselves and the union. And they're not behind this time. And so it's going to be worse. I think it's going to be, I don't know anything other than it looks to me like there's a pretty doggone good chance that we'll be down to a three-station model until something drastic happens and action's taken. But, you know, I had a discussion with our supervisor the other day, and directly right, said, what bothers me the most about this is you've got a district of 700 people in Morgan Territory have a representation on that board, and you've got an island with 2,000 people on it that has representation on that board, and you have a district with your district, 13,000 people in it, and we have no representation on that board. I said, that's wrong. We put that kangaroo court together. Nobody ever stepped up from Discovery Bay, and they didn't, you know. I was approached to be on that thing, but I didn't want to. I thought there'd be some conflict of interest issues, and I talked to our attorneys, and they said it probably wasn't a very good idea for me to be on that board. And to be honest with you, I want to be on that board.
Oh, wait a minute.
But anyway, so this board needs to be aware, and I think at some point we need to make a public statement as to what our concerns are and how we feel that this at representing our constituents, how we feel about it.
Hey, Kevin, you know, as a community member, has the fire board district ever considered moving the AMR unit here at 58? Because that's where most of the population is, or more of the seniors are, that they could respond faster and then take 59 or 54, whatever, rig to come in to help them. But station the AMR unit here. Now, if you went back to say that, just based on what you're saying, maybe we'll close 59, put the AMR unit there, and close the station with the engine and move it back. That's my fear.
Well, the problem with that, Virgil, is right now there's no cost. There's no cost. You know, they don't have to they don't have to put electricity. They don't have to put in heat, energy. They're not spending anything for 58.
If they other than the general maintenance.
General maintenance.
They hire a guy to landscape.
He was out there mowing the lawns yesterday when I was over Dash.
Yeah.
But they don't put anything in. There's no cost. It's considered surplus right now, and they'd have to bring it out of surplus. And there's costs affected with that, and they're not spending. They're in dire straits.
I see.
They're not going to spend a dime. I mean, I don't want to answer for them, but logic is not really anything they're looking at.
My concern is that on the voting thing, though there may be 5,000 or 6,000 of us registered voters here, if we all voted yes, we'd be outnumbered still by Oakley, combination of Oakley and Brentwood.
Yeah, but we have enough voters because this takes it's not just a majority vote; it's a two-thirds vote. We have enough votes here that we all vote no because they're not properly representing us. I mean, they really should take notice of us. Is what I'm trying to say, because if we all vote no, we can kill it. We have enough votes to kill it. Anything that they want to do, and so. We don't seem to be. I don't know how to wield that power any better. I don't know how to.
Think back 2 years ago when this whole thing started. We all go to the meeting, and Discovery Bay was the least represented community. We go to the meeting in Oakley, and Bethel Island had, what, 50, 60, 80 people screaming and yelling, and Discovery Bay had 4 people.
Right, I remember.
They don't know. These people in this town, it's one of those, we just talked about it earlier. It said, doesn't affect me. My house didn't burn down. It's okay. And then when their house burns down, your phone will be ringing. What are you guys doing about it? Well, what did you do about it? People in Discovery Bay don't get involved. They just don't do it.
Well, I think probably one way to maybe make that happen would be to, as a board, discuss it take your idea, kind of formalize that, somehow make a statement, written, a formal
protest. A board statement, not just my statement.
Correct, a board statement. And then do what we can to get it published in the local papers, and then see if we can even do an open house at the community center to discuss the fire district or something like that. I don't know. We don't need the fire district there.
No, the fire district's going to be having something here at the school, next week.
I know they are.
But it's going to be the same dog and pony show that it was last.
Well, that's their sale. That's their sales pitch for the money, and I agree it's the unions. But
the union. I mean, I've had a lot of conversations with Gil, and you know, we pretty much they're not just out. They want to save their. Obviously, they want to save jobs.
Sure.
But we want to save fire stations. So we're really on the same team with the unions on this thing.
Well, I don't disagree with that, but I think the way to get the community actively involved is if we want to help the community see what the fire district's doing, even though it's not our job to oversee them, would it be proactive, as you said, and try to host a meeting or something and at least get stuff in the newspaper on why it's important for the community to come together one way or another on the fire district issues because of your own safety and medical issues.
And I agree 100% that the situation is that until the district really makes public that possibility of the three-station model, mm-hmm. which they haven't really said in the media, the minute they do that, we can do exactly that. And we can actually go along the lines
then
of,
that needs to
you may lose your only other station, and maybe that will get the community involved.
Well, that would be a question from the audience at their meeting. If they don't bring it up, a question should be asked, well, what's your future plans about Station 59 or closure, whatever. Somebody from the audience could ask that question.
It'll be asked.
It'll be discussed. You'd have to go to one of their meetings are held a little bit differently.
Sure, well, no, I mean in this meeting that they're going to have.
Oh,
right
here.
Just have that discussion. Have somebody in the audience ask the question, or two or three.
Where are we at now?
You guys.
I want to talk about the community center.
Right.
Okay.
And I was thinking, so we went to, most of us were at the state of the town, and, you know, that's a interesting cast of characters that comes together every year for that, and it's a well-attended group of business owners and neighbors, and I realized that the speaker slate, there was a lot of information that's good information to get out, and they're using that platform, but I was looking into the future of the community center, and maybe the town should host, be a part of a summertime event at the community center, and maybe, in the beginning of the event, maybe it's before a concert or whatever, maybe we've got a 1 hour or something where we can give updates on the fire, we could talk about water conservation as a topic, but just something for the future. There's only 180 people could get into that meeting, and I thought there was so much important information there. And we were Oktoberfest, we brought in a lot of people, and it would have been nice to have more of a community presence, or at least a forum that's.
I think you have to. There's a line between entertainment and information.
Advocacy, yeah.
And I think when you do a thing like the Oktoberfest, you tell people you're coming to hear bands, you're coming to have a party. And by the way, there's going to be a 1 hour.
Yeah,
they're
going to
go.
Fly.
Yeah, what time will that be ending? We'll be.
We're leaving just before we're arriving right at.
I've got an outrageous idea from the Chamber of Commerce, and so I'm going to challenge them to come up with a bigger venue and a different timing of that type of state of the town, and one of the places. Could be held possibly would be a community center tenant event, and you could bring in a lot more people and do it on a different level where you don't have to wear a tuxedo because they can have their gala, but maybe there's a better form for that conversation.
We're having the first Thursday in March, I think, is where we migrated to for the grand opening, and the chamber, I believe, is going to do a ribbon cutting, kind of like what they did over at Delta Valley.
Is that Earth Day or?
No, it's just March.
It's just an open house.
Open house, kind of, we kind of get a lot more people excited about it.
We're all pretty much in agreement that, that using the community center, I mean, finding more uses for the community center is huge for us. I mean, it's been a large boost in this community. So, I mean, obviously what you're saying, I certainly understand it. And the more things we can use for the community center, the better. So,
piggybacking on that, Chris and I have been working on the MOU and the 501c3 and so on and so forth. And one of the questions that was asked at the last board meeting is, how do you plan to pay for all of this? So I have been able to put together a health and wellness fair that's going to be on May the 3rd. We expect to have about 38 vendors. That's how many tables we can fit in there. So it'll bring in about $3,500. The only cost that we're going to entail is that I want to have the boardwalk provide box lunches for the vendors that are paying for their tables. So that'll probably be about $600-$700. So we'll end up probably about $3,000, which is more than enough to cover the 501c3. So,
yeah. How do you plan to get that information out to the general public?
It's actually on the agenda for Wednesday night.
Right, okay.
For the foundation, you're talking about for the health fair.
Correct.
Well, I'm not too worried about the foundation portion of that. I mean, we've got six months to a year to even make that happen.
Yeah, I meant your health.
The health and wellness fair between Chris Middleton, the Chamber of Commerce, Amanda Dove, the Delta, you know, we have...
It's independent of the board, right, this event?
The pipeline.
Yeah. It's a town's hosting event.
Okay.
It's a town.
So I want to talk about that for a minute.
Right.
Town hosting. So if the town hosts something, does that come through the board?
Not necessarily.
Why not? Well, how can the town host something if the board isn't, if the board doesn't agree to it?
Kind of. I mean, with the exception of the rain dance, which came up very quickly, and we tried to get the word out to you guys ahead of time, it didn't come to you before a meeting. However, it'll be on Wednesday. You have an event calendar for the year, so everything that's pre-planned out, which includes the senior health and wellness.
So these are community center events.
They're public events that we're planning on having either at our parks or the community center for the whole year, and we're trying to get approval of that for the year in advance.
So when we have a camp out at the park, it comes to the board and we vote on it.
You do that because there's a park rule that says there's no overnight camping at the park. So you have
the community center doesn't fall under that same rule?
There's no overnight camping at the parks. For example, if there was an event, Rocktoberfest, perfect example, our rules do allow the use about the consumption of alcohol at the community center, but none of our other parks. Okay, if it's for a private party, you've given staff the ability to approve those. If it's for a public event, those are coming to you to approve the alcohol use.
Okay. So, and this might just be a minor semantics, and I might be wrong, but it just, when I saw the email that you sent out with regards to the rain dance, which I have to think is a great idea, if people want to engage in it and it gets people again into the community center, which is what our goal is, it said hosted by the town of Discovery Bay. When I see that, I consider this board being the town of Discovery Bay, and we never talked about it. It seems to me it's hosted by the town of Discovery Bay Community Center, as opposed to the town of Discovery Bay. It may just be semantics. I might be off base, and this may not be the venue to discuss that, but I just want to tell you, when I read it, it didn't feel right.
It's, if you want... If
that
board,
needs to be a distinction,
board,
maybe it doesn't. I'm just throwing it out there. It's not a huge issue, but if
the board wanted,
put the spotlight
because we don't have any liability, we're not accepting any response. We're not, as a town.
We're providing the space.
We're not. The community center is hosting it, along with the Delta Sun Times.
But the community center is part of the town of Discovery Bay.
Okay, so then we run into we're back to that.
There's a fine line there. I agree with Kevin. I mean, to me, I think it should have said rain dance hosted by the community center of town of Discovery Bay and whoever.
We have a logo for the Discovery Bay Community Center, right? Do you store that logo down there instead of the town Discovery Bay's logo?
Seal.
But I want to hear from the rest of the board. I don't know. Maybe I'm making some big deal out of nothing here. I don't know.
I mean, I don't think it's a huge deal. I just think that for me, the idea is to draw things into the community
Absolutely.
Center.
Absolutely.
So use the town Discovery Community Center.
The community center could have its name on everything that we
but
use
if some,
it for.
But if a constituent came to me and said, so you guys approve this? And I say no. Well, but you're hosting it. Well, you know, that we just put that onto events and... And we really don't have to approve it to have it be put on event. It just didn't seem explainable to me.
I think that the answer is the calendar that Farron has put together that we're gonna see on Wednesday. If we agree that these dates and events are good, then we've approved it. We're done with them. I think the term hosting means that we're funding. We're as this town or board
that,
is inviting people in our, you know, for some reason. So that I think the word hosting should probably not be used. It's not hosted by the town of Discovery Bay.
For us, hosting it is we're providing the venue.
From a public standpoint, when you say hosted.
That's kind of the way I read it. That's
right. We have to just be careful. Just pick that. You find a different word instead of hosting. It's just
sponsored.
Because that's fiscal.
But
is there a cost incurred?
If someone wanted to come in and rent the facility and use it for a private rain dance, they would do that.
If it's a community center,
but we're not doing that. An in-kind service as the town is our contribution.
And there's a value to that.
And so I half agree with what Bill's saying in that once we agree to that venue, I think then we agreed to host those things.
Brought to you by the community center.
And that's fine. And then if there's an additional event that occurs, it probably needs to come to the board, for a discussion, brief as it might be. And what we're trying to also do is we're trying to keep organizers from coming up to us, you know, 2 weeks before they want to do something and want to have it 2 weeks from now. Now, has there been a permit applied for this thing?
Yes.
Okay.
We applied for two. We only needed one, so we got
just because
the fire
of more than
department.
75 people or something.
Well, the fire department said we didn't need one, and we did have to get a.
Why don't we use the word sort of hosting and somehow get the term venue? The venue will be at.
Or the venue will be provided by.
The venue will be at the community center. You know, Town of Discovery Bay Community.
Is this what you were going
to bring? This is technically kind of our event. I mean, we're not requiring, like if somebody was going to come in and have a private event there, we would require their insurance. We would require, you know, multiple things from them. Okay. We're not taking insurance. This is our event, but they're paying for it. They're putting it together, organizing it for us. But
it's
our place.
We're at a community center.
Yeah, I mean...
I think it's coming
I don't have a problem with the word host once we've been involved with it. That's where we may not agree completely. Once we've agreed to a calendar, then I think we are hosting it.
And I think
it actually becomes a positive then at that point. But I just didn't feel in this particular instance that we had agreed to host this thing.
And it came up very late last minute.
And it always does sometimes.
Yeah. That's why this is coming to you on Wednesday.
We're talking about things for next year. One thing I would like to see change next year is this. I just got it at the last minute. Because that's become a huge thing for this board. At our board meetings, at events like this, you guys are just finding out because I just got it. I think it's not our fault if you guys just got it. And I think this year should be the year of if you can't get it on time to give it to us on time, then it should be postponed until you can give it to us. That's just my feeling. Because we got it.
I understand there are very few instances where we slam you with something like that. A perfect example was Rocktoberfest. That wouldn't have happened if we didn't act on it immediately. Because we didn't know it was being canceled until literally, if you remember, I called and surveyed you. Are you guys available for a special meeting on Tuesday so we can approve it so they can do it on Saturday? So sometimes those things do happen. And we have to adjust. But I understand what you're saying. We do everything we can to avoid that. But sometimes it does happen.
And this is great, because this is being proactive for exactly that point that President Stein was bringing up. And this is great. This is really, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Yeah, I know.
5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Well, that's almost an event a month.
These are all community
that you guys have
events.
For public there, events at the community.
There's one that isn't.
There's some that are at the park.
You're not. Your
and
thing's
I,
not on there yet? Oh, it is on
there.
There.
Oh, that's all right. Not on there. So I'll adjust that.
But is this all at the community center, or some of these over at the different venues?
We're looking at doing the music in the parks, starting at the community center, and then following up at two additional parks this year.
Does it give us the venue name or something?
Yeah,
oh, I see.
And your description.
I like the way you have a emphasis on no for the alcohol at the holiday parade. Capital Park.
Not on our property, I guess, is what it is. We're just
no, I'm just kidding. And I appreciate the fact that we're staying on top of the permits and licensing, because that's been an issue. And that's an issue that reflects on us. It reflects on us at the county level, which then affects our communication. And we have a lot of things working at the county level right now that we want to, we may need to go to, and yeah. We need support on, and if people are...
I just want to let you know we've been trying to improve that on our side of the house too. And then after this goes to you guys on Wednesday, we will be meeting with the fire department discussing our futures, which ones that they're going to want to see, which ones aren't,
and
so
health department and all those. But we should be pretty much on board with that now.
Yeah.
Okay.
One of the other things I'd like to see this coming year when it's staff would be. The community center, the town office, we talked about, you know, we've gone through the renovation, and it looks, you know, my thought personally would be, well, this will help us get to the next year and a half or so, 2 years, whatever. But we need to discuss and start planning, okay, how are we going to utilize the community center in a better way? And you had some plans for that, and do we talk about moving staff over into there and those kind of things, so if we can have some kind of a discussion about that for the future, just to kind of get going and how we might finance something like that and all those kind of things. So that's
called.
I'd like to have a board discussion.
The long-term plans,
yes.
And objectives,
right.
For that property.
Correct. We've taken the pressure off now. I think staff hopefully can catch their breath just a little bit, but put it out there so we can keep going. I don't want to wait 2 years and then find out, okay, now we got to start working on this. I think
that goes back to the strategic plan.
Exactly.
Right.
So we don't need a big strategic, you know, $1 million strategic plan.
No.
But this is part of that looking into the future type of thing. How are we going to utilize that?
That may be another workshop environment.
Yeah. I think that workshop environment is perfect.
For the community center of future.
Correct.
Whether it involves buildings, whether it involves... I had a discussion with a guy over Walnut Creek the other day that said... It encouraged us, who knows the area fairly well, doesn't live out here, but is very involved out here, and said, and encouraged us to continue to move forward with what we're doing with the community center, because he remembers Walnut Creek when it was a single, and there was like one little park, and they started with a little program, and you know, it grows into a tremendous thing. But he said, you'd be surprised, you do have to start small, which, you know, we finally got that ball rolling in a really positive way, and encouraged us to continue to move along. And I told him that we had a swim team starting in the pool, and he said all those little things all of a sudden start to snowball, and you get the community involvement that you don't see right now. But as a responsible community member, he really encouraged us to keep moving along, which felt good to get somebody from outside the area that's been experienced with the parks district.
Just
and that's
you,
what this
just
will
to
do
give you
too.
A heads up
this
on, the,
get people involved.
On this boardroom right here, we're working on a transition plan to move it from here over there. It's got to be easily, it's got to be, the camping permit has got to be able to have Farron and her staff be able to break it down, put it out to break it down after board meetings. Just to give you a quick idea, we're looking at a raised platform that can be carpeted, fold away, go away, work on wheels.
I think we would leave it unless somebody had to move it.
But it could be moved if it needed to be.
But these tables, they're just way too heavy, so we'd have to look at something that's more manageable. We're looking at a wireless AV system. This is all old technology, analog. We're looking going to a wireless mic system so that we don't have all the wires and everything else. With new AV equipment.
So when's the plan going to come forward?
Yeah, as soon as I get the information, it's going to come forward. I'm hoping to have it in this spring. have it installed this spring? That's what I'm shooting for. And then at that point, we would reconvert this building, put an office for Virgil and put a conference room in here.
It would just have to be after this session that we already started, because we have dance classes on Wednesday nights. So that way, like, once we...
Zumba.
Well, it's not Zumba, it's dance, still dance. So we would just want to block it out for the next session that we don't program anything for either board night. At least nothing.
Well, where do they relocate to for that class?
We would just move it to a different night or a different time.
It's not in that room.
Yeah. It's not in that room.
But we would not want to be meeting with them in that room.
The music and everything else.
But I do want to comment that we've had it on our, on our list to do, it's been requested for a park landscape/recreation master plan, which we don't have in place. And I think that's been something that we've just been holding off on until the park transfer comes through. So Marianne was talking about long-term funding, and I think that would be probably the best discussion place for that, to put that into the master plan on how we move forward with all of that combined.
I'd like to have a budget for that for the next fiscal year for a parks and landscaping master plan. I don't need the community center part of it in there, but if it is, that's great. But I think we need to look at having that in place for like the 10-year plan or the 5-year plan and those things. And I think you're right on that. That will be a good piece to have.
If we were to have ownership of all the parks, counting that picture, our park, would that then change the ability to share funds across the parks that we can't do now? In other words, the community center takes all of its money at its own age.
Sort of. So we can't technically at this point in time, but part of the agreement with the transfer is that within 5 years we have to come up with our own assessment zone to put those parks into. So whether we create and separate our parks, like the Ravenswood and Cornell, from this current assessment zones, and then restructure it so it's a parks and rec district,
right,
all of our parks go in that and all of the funding from the parks goes there, then yes.
Well, why can't we do that as part of the agreement with the county now?
Well, because it has to be created. People have to vote for that.
Oh, it does have to. Okay, that's my question. Okay,
yeah.
All right.
Did staff hear the comment when we were talking about having a future discussion about the community center, how we're going to use the building and modifying it and doing all that in a open format like this, a study session format?
You mean for potential future offices, the whole deal.
In a study session environment, workshop.
Oh, absolutely. I'll hear about it. Trust me.
What? Is there anything else that the board is interested in?
I got my
We need to, sooner than later, as part of a discussion, I'm trying to think of what we talked about. What are the two things we asked about workshop? What was the first thing you asked about workshop on?
Water meters.
Water meters, okay. So at some point, we need to start talking about the inevitability of tertiary water treatment and filters. That's another not if, but when situation that we're going to be mandated to be involved with. Question, Virgil. Somebody told me the other day, fairly well informed, but that I had missed from Gregory's statements. Are we the only district that discharges into the Delta that doesn't have a tertiary system?
In the district, meaning Region 5?
Into the Delta?
No.
I didn't think so. There's a ton of little ones that do the same thing we do.
Rio Vista doesn't have tertiary.
Yeah, but I mean... I don't know what you mean by the district.
Are we the only
the
district
region
that discharges into the Delta without the tertiary? Absolutely not.
No.
I knew that.
But
was bad information.
But you gotta remember, you are partway there.
But we're the almost largest, though.
No, you're not the largest, but you're almost there. I mean, UV is part of the tertiary treatment. You already do a component of that already. The component that's missing,
which is why our
permit's
been okay for so long.
That is correct.
Okay.
We've been slowly getting tertiary, but we didn't jump at one time. City of Brentwood jumped at one time. we're doing it incrementally.
I think we need to discuss that as a district. Yeah.
Well, I think
that's a goal.
It's in the master plan.
Yeah, the expediency of doing that, I don't disagree with you, will be dependent a little bit, I guess, on our permit that we're going through now and what stage.
And we think when we, in a couple of months from now, when we get a draft permit, you'll see in there, maybe, we don't know, they're going to probably kind of talk about it.
Point us in a direction.
Pardon me?
Just try to lead us in that direction.
That is correct. That's correct.
Give us a heads up that you need to be having
be
these discussions, which is why I think it probably needs to be discussed within the next fiscal year. Not necessarily to identify funds for it and that type of thing, but it needs to be discussed and have the board be aware of what the costs are going to be and what the likelihood of us having to move in that direction and when.
Back to the community center, have you been getting any, has the schools engaged you at all for end of the year parties?
Not
or
the schools, no.
The
but
pools?
The pool is slammed this summer with some team rec swim and learn swim programs and, you know, everything that we have planned for that. So it's going to be tough. Even with our event calendar, people wanting to reserve, like, for parties, you know, that they're going to have to, like, kind of go indoors and it's
on the pool part, do we have a lifeguard plan in place? And is the lifeguard system, are we training our own lifeguards?
We are still, we don't train our own lifeguards. It's very expensive to have somebody come in and hold that training. We hired ones that already had their certification last year, and which we plan to do again, but we do test them. And Rick Pierce came in and did that for free for us and he certified on that. So with our coaches on the swim team, they'll also go through certifications with us on that. It's a Red Cross program. I did want to ask though, just with the events, if you guys wanted to get a feel for that, there's a lot of programs that we're starting and I don't know if you want to see them, you don't want to see them, you like adult softball, the swim team, the we're looking at doing the Learn to Swim program. Those are all posted by us, you know, the town. Do you guys want to see the policies, the procedures we're putting together? Do you not care as long as it's, you know, recreation? I don't really know.
I don't know.
One question I do have is, when we're booking all these events, we're not booking this pool so it's booked every weekend. So, the idea is that people that live here can go down to the pool.
Oh, yeah. No. We have the rec
Prime
time
hours.
Is still open. The rec time is still open. The events that we have are, you know, evening. So it might start getting warmed up while the pool is still open. But maybe that's great so people can bring their kids and let them swim while they're listening to music, you know, on the same night. The Friday night movies, that's after swim hours, you know, but people come early, they're still swimming, they get out, their kids change, they go watch the movie.
I'm talking about like on Saturdays and Sundays, I know you have a lot of stuff booked on the weekends.
Uh-huh.
How does that affect the people that live here that get up on a Saturday morning and go, hey, let's go swimming?
Oh, well, we don't have anything on that early. Everything that we're kind of looking at the community center on the weekends, you're only looking at 2 months of that, and it's the family film nights on Friday, which is the and the music, which would all just one
we're talking
night
about the aquatic center and access for the public and on
we're not we're trying to leave that open, as much as possible.
The swim team's not going to block out Prime Hour.
No, swim team is Monday through Thursday, and it's after school, but that's before the swim, so before swim season opens recreationally, it doesn't open to the Memorial weekend.
Yeah.
And before that, the swim team practices after school. Once school's out and right after Memorial weekend, they start switching to mornings before rec swim starts. So, and rec swim doesn't start until the afternoon.
So there's no con.
No.
Good. Okay. I mean, that's.
It's already been booked. I mean, we scheduled it out so that we didn't change any rec hours.
One of the things I'd like to kind of keep moving forward with the community center would be the removal of the existing old landscaping so that the community as they're driving by can see back in there. It started.
That was in
check. That's actually what our Earth Day project is this year.
We turn the heat down in here. Freaking oven.
We're working on starting to remove that with our staff and
yeah, I saw you were making some headway on it.
Yeah, it's just slow. It's just we've got other stuff going, you know, but that our goal is to have that done before the Earth Day. And so the replanting would be our big contract.
When is Earth Day?
It's on here. It's April 26th.
All right, so 3 more. 9 days.
Yeah.
The other issue would be the outbuildings that are there. There's an old trailer, the roof structure that's over the top of the new filtration system we put in, that, you know, there's holes in it, it's unsafe, et cetera.
Oh, the one over the pool. The edge of the pool, the south edge of the pool.
Yeah, the pool equipment, all that stuff, and then there's an old building on the that was the daycare thing, or some old portable building, and some other structures that probably need to come down and something. Where is that in the kind of on the list of stuff?
It's not this room.
If the pool, that kids area room, that's our storage. That's where we store the tables and chairs and everything else. Isn't that what you're doing?
So we're following these stuff?
That's what I thought you were doing. I'm sorry.
We did at first, but then it's just too far out to move between the buildings, so we moved everything that was in one of the ships.
Well, I'm looking at it as just from a resident standpoint at night.
It doesn't look good. Yeah.
And I don't know how you'd even utilize it, just a square box
out there. I think just because we're so limited on funding, you know, and resources to pay for that.
Well, I'd just get it out of there, crunch it up.
Just to demo the area, make it so you can have a picnic out there.
Yeah. It still would cost us money.
How about a project for the boys camp to come tear it down?
Do we want to tear that trailer down? But you're not going to use it for daycare or anything anymore?
There hasn't been any. A formal decision of what we're doing long term with that property or that area, and so I haven't wanted to spend any money until you had decided on the long term.
I'm just looking strictly visual so that the community comes by and they can look back in there and see, hey, there's something going on there. I didn't know there was a pool there.
Yeah.
Are we engaging the Boy Scouts? They've come for Eagle Scout projects, and I could get a new barbecue. Like the barbecue area, is there a plan to have that ready for summer? Or?
They haven't. We haven't reached out to them this year. They typically have helped us in the past. We've worked with the Little Girls Brownie Troop just recently, and then I know the Leos are wanting to do, they're going to be doing a project in the front. By the flagpole.
What's the plan for the... I guess I'm asking for the barbecue area. Is that fully functional? And today we fixed it, right? The brick is all ready, and then
it was used last year.
Okay,
it might need to be cleaned right now, but if, you know, we're not.
I know we cleared all the areas. So anyway,
we haven't done any structural work other than the grill work. We had to replace.
We have a new grill on it. We can cook 50 hamburgers at a time or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all legal.
We had to buy the new grills.
Yeah.
We actually had to get.
Okay. No, that's good. As long as it's working,
frame.
That's a great corner.
Grill frames.
Yeah. JW.
The fire department went out and looked at it last year. We had to do some clearing around it, but that was it.
Yeah. And we
took the board barbecue. We can just go over there and all see it, and then we don't have to micromanage all these.
We'll do that.
Yeah, that's kind of where we need to be meeting.
We did last year.
We did talk about last year where the pool equipment is, that overhang where the filter is. It's got the hole in it, so the vent can come up through the top of it. We did talk about replacing that. That was an eyesore. At the time we were doing the pool equipment last year, we talked about taking that down. Are we still planning on taking that down?
The patio cover part?
Right above all the new pool equipment.
Yeah.
There was a
hole
in the roof.
Corrugated metal.
With a hole to let the vent out for the...
For the exhaust for the heater. For the old heater.
Yeah, but the thing was in horrible shape.
That got removed. The new heaters now go vent on the outside.
But is that roof gone also or no?
No.
It's on the edge of falling down. One of these. I mean, it was in
the metal part.
Yeah, well, not just that metal piece. The structure
two sections,
itself,
I think, or one section of corrugated.
Well, it's more than just the metal. It's the
you're
wooden
talking
structure
two different things.
Also.
On the top of the roof is the rubber solar panels.
It's the rubber solar panels. It's the roof itself. And the metal corrugation underneath. So there's three items out there. That whole building, I mean, if you went out there and pushed on.
So what I'm hearing, and I agree with, is that we would probably like to see a plan to replace that structure because it is ugly, it's an eyesore, it's full
it's
of
dangerous.
And it's dangerous. And so I guess that what the board is saying at this point, although we're very conscientious of spending money at the community center, we would like to see a proposal to maybe replace that structure, so it only has to cover, it only needs to be a third of what it is currently, because it went way past the equipment, didn't it?
Well, they put the chemical system over on the way, so the piping and all that now is on the
actually strapped to the wall. No, right, what you're talking about is on the south side of it, it extends towards the fence where the landscaping is.
That's where the broken beams are.
Out, pardon me?
That's where the broken beams are.
Two broken beams, sir.
But there's nothing underneath there, is there?
No, other than landscaping.
So it's probably, it doesn't need to be as big as it is currently, so maybe we'd like to see, then we'll know if we want to put the money into it to replace it or just try to fix it.
And this, in that plan for that structure, there might be storage that's needed for the pool, and so integrate that in the idea.
I know what would be nice is to bring outdoor showers out there, so people aren't trekking through to shower before they get into the pool, because all over the carpet and into the bathrooms. We have to have
showers. You have it. So maybe we need to see a proposal to as to what your goals would be with that latest eyesore. I would rather see that addressed before we address the building, the trailer that's out there.
One of the, when you do the showers, then you got to capture that water, and you can't let it go to the creek or to the storm drains, and so you would have to either
put it back in the sewer system.
Well, somehow.
Well, we have a basin in that shed thing out there that drains the pool water.
But it pumps it to there. You have to make sure gravity flows. Or you put a 1,000-gallon tank or something and you pump it out. But you can't let that water reach the storm drains from the showers.
Yeah.
That'd be a nice piece out there, though, I think, at some point.
I agree.
It's an outdoor shower, right?
Yeah.
So if it was up on somehow, I don't know, that high, whatever the height is, concrete pad or whatever, and it just runs off onto the landscaping. What's wrong with that?
I don't, Department of Health might have an issue with that.
You have to drain the sewer if it touches the body, same as the splash pad.
Oh, really?
We're just an outdoor.
That was, okay, thanks. That was where my head was going. Yeah, that's interesting.
Because the reason I mentioned that
privately, you could do that. Publicly, we can't.
I guess.
No, I think that they let you do, one of the options for splash pads at the time that we did it, I don't know about the new rules because it's been a few years, but some districts had gone to draining it to a bio swale.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was saying. It's like a new parking lots out of shopping sort of thing. The drains go in, you get the grass out there.
Yeah.
They don't drain out.
But that all might almost be more expensive than.
Because our HOA has an outdoor shower that just goes right under the concrete, and wherever it goes from there, it goes. It's on the side of the, that structure, and it's just a nozzle that comes out right there on the outside of the building.
Are we allowed to park vehicles with for sale signs in our lot there in Community Center? I see SUVs there and stuff sitting there all the time with for sale signs, and they sit there for a couple days on the weekends. And is parking posted? Because I don't think we have any restrictions.
I don't think we've seen any for sale.
I have.
Prior to us taking it over, there was.
No, I saw a Suburban there about a month ago.
Was
a brown one and a green one.
Just on the weekend?
It's on the weekends.
We need to just make a phone call to that individual.
But there's no signs.
So. Okay. Get your car. We're going to tow it away, one or the other.
Well, we have to make sure it's posted if we're going to do that, though.
Get a hold of one of the local tow companies. They'll put a big sign up for you.
How's tennis? How's the tennis program going for the town? Community center
program.
How is tennis?
There's a lot of people that can play tennis. I was out there this morning, and four of the courts were full. Somebody break into it last night to their sheds, and they rummaged through it. They're not sure if anything's missing or not. They're going to get back to me. So it'd be nice once we get our camera system up and going there.
Yeah,
it's coming soon.
That's coming sooner than later. That brings up another subject that I would like to address, and that is the resurfacing of the courts and addressing those prior to them becoming even greater because the cracks opening.
You can really only do four of the courts if you just want to do resurfacing like we do at Cornell as a maintenance issue that will survive.
But that's not the issue. The issue of the front four courts. Those are what needs to be addressed because the other courts are playable as they are. The front four courts are not hardly even playable. So we can't, so
It was because of
the the water, the big water leak they had caused a lot of ground shifting and a lot of cracks to open up, and it's gone past the point of being able to resurface, and it really needs to be repaired and resurfaced.
Epoxy it and then resurface?
No, it's not a resurfacing. It's you have to do a slip sheet over it. You could do it every year. You can go out and you could crack seal and do a new coat every year, and every year it's going to come back through, so you'd be constantly doing that. In order to prevent that, to have any kind of lid longevity in the surfaces, you're looking at doing either removal and put a new one in, or a slip sheet, which is very
it's a capping it off, right? You put like a layer on top.
Like it's about another inch of
I don't disagree that we want to have stuff in good condition, but I would base it on usage. If the tennis players are out there enough that they're standing around waiting for a court and they can't use that court, I mean, there's demand or whatever. I don't know if we're there yet.
Not at this time.
Right.
Well, but there's a fine line there between they don't come because they know that there's no courts available. And I mean, you're right. I mean, we don't want to do it, but it doesn't make sense to have a facility that's in disrepair.
Well, I don't disagree, but it's the money issue. Where we get the money from?
That's all that part of that big. How are we going to fund the community center?
Right.
You know, it's all part of the.
Once the foundation's up and rolling, and they got millions of dollars, they've got in their kitty. We'll redo those tennis courts.
But so the tennis group's still running separately from the community center.
We are. That's not, and it probably won't happen this year. There's a lot involved with that, but it's something on our radar for future.
Why wouldn't it be? Happen this year? What's so hard about a wreck? You're shaking your head like it couldn't happen.
I was shaking my head.
Well, we've made some Parkinson's steps towards that,
I just saw you shaking.
Yeah.
Well, Parkinson's, don't worry about it.
Don't hit your head on that corner.
All right. Anyway, it'll be for a goal in the future, I hope that we get out of tennis leagues.
Yeah, it's definitely there.
Well, and there has to be a demand, right? Has anybody come to you and said, we want to have a tennis league? There are two leagues.
There are two leagues. What we would like to do is to, eventually bring that in.
Youth tennis and all kinds of stuff.
Well, summer youth tennis, the kids have neat stuff to do in the area.
Okay.
Well, we certainly
have players. Yeah, that is offered in the guide, but it's not through us. So.
I drove by this morning, the parking lot is packed.
Yes.
Yep.
Well, there's a couple things going on today. They have tennis and then there's card groups playing, so it's...
How's that going?
Are they there every Saturday, the card group?
They are now. They just started today's their first one Saturday group.
And what's going on with the AA group? Are you making progress on that?
They sent us a list, and we're working out there.
So we think we can make that work?
It would have to come to you guys to approve it, because it would be a reduction in the fee for a long-term agreement. So what they're paying now isn't in line with what we charge.
$50 an hour?
No,
you pay
$50
for the whole evening.
They have five meetings, so it's like $10 an hour almost, because they're paying $250 for 5 days a week, but it's,
They're not renting the library next door or something? I thought they were at one of the schools.
They were at the church.
They were at a couple different churches.
It would be nice. It's a small group, and you don't need a lot of space, and it's an extra $250 a month that we could be capturing for...
It's not a membership group. They come in and they all put a dollar in a coffee can, and that's how they pay for it.
But now I went in, it was a pretty big group.
Where? AA?
I went in to get a building permit when I did the stucco on my house, and they were right next door to each other and didn't know it. We walk in and sat down. That place was packed. And we're sitting there.
Here?
And
Discovery Bay?
Yeah. And this is years back in 2006.
There's a lot of drunks out here, man.
And we're sitting there, and I'm thinking, there's not only people getting permits. And all of a sudden, my name is Cindy, and I'm an alcoholic. And I go, oh, crap. And I said,
you didn't stay?
Well, we were gone, but we were trying to get a permit. We went next door.
We knew he should have stayed, but he couldn't.
He had a prior commitment. They all knew me. That's what worried me. We went next door, and
that could have been divine intervention,
I said, I'm sorry. He goes, let me guess. You went next door to the AA meeting. I said, yeah. He goes, did you enjoy that?
I said, I had all my friends.
There was a lot of people in there. I mean, I'm telling you. I remember.
Has there been any engagement from dog owner groups with the community center?
The what? I'm sorry.
Dog.
Pet owners or dog owners?
No.
They haven't even engaged at all.
No.
No. All right.
I know they haven't.
Are we looking for questions to extend this meeting, or where are we at this point?
We're about done here, I think. There's nothing further. Any other comments?
No, but her mentioning AA, I know Byron United Methodist Church charges them $50 for the whole evening. So, I mean, this is a group that you want to help. So I you know, I,
it's kind of a community service as well as they're willing to pay something.
Maybe if we serve liquor.
Just keep them off the carpet. That's all I want to tell you. Keep them on the hardwood floor, and you'll be fine.
Chris has
right,
one more.
Do we have one more? Do we have any more follow-up on the leadership council that we need to do? We talked about some work there and putting up some different plans and things together. What goals do we have for that this year?
Well, with respect to that, those are some of those items that we're working on relative to that transparency as well as additional distinction. A lot of the policies we've been bringing to you guys have been part of that. The policy manual that came to you at the end of the year to review, we've never done that before. That came out of that. So we're implementing those.
What's the goal and timeline for getting district of distinction?
If we qualify for it, which I believe we do, very soon.
Like it'll happen in 2014?
Oh, it'll happen probably in the next 90 days.
And the board's bought into it, so we're ready.
All right. We're all distinct.
I know.
Chris,
in our own special
way. Can I close this?
I want you to know, Chris Fiasco, on the question I would hit you with a gavel.
Don't use it.
Any other comments?
Good job.
Just a comment that Fraser is going to be across the street starting at noon today.
Who is?
Assemblyman Fraser.
Oh.
At Aladino's starting at noon.
We're talking about water issues.
I hope his presentation is better than his one at the state of the town. All right, well, thank you very much for coming and adjourned.
Thank you, guys.